What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Tuesday, the 30th of December, year of our Lord, 2025. Well, today we're going to take a look at some of the many reasons that Trump was in such a foul mood, even though he is deliberately the agent of chaos. And as we look at the wars that are lining up for next year, just remember that he has started or revived 5 conflicts this year. What will he do next year in order to win the Nobel Peace Prize? We'll also take a look at AI and how the, I know it's kind of a tough term here, but the enshittification is about to go to accelerate and go hyperbolic. We have early indicators of that. So we're going to take a quick break here and we'll be right back. Well, we're going to have to take a look at Trump's character as well as what's going on with Epstein, because that is the only way that we're going to break this spell of mass delusion. It's totally insane. And so over the weekend, we talked yesterday and kind of laughed about some of the things that Trump is doing. Ebenezer Trump had a real bah humbug at Christmas. But as one person pointed out, think about the fact that Trump has nicknames for everybody that he despises, right? You got Sleepy Joe Biden, you've got Comrade Kamala, you've got Crooked Hillary, Crazy Nancy, you've got Governor Newsom, right? All these different ones. Why doesn't he have a nickname for Epstein or for Ghislaine Maxwell? Instead, you know, what he said was, I wish her well. We saw that.
President, the other day a reporter asked you about Ghislaine Maxwell. You said, quote, "I just wish her well, frankly. I've met her numerous times over the years, especially since I lived in Palm Beach, but I wish her well, whatever it is." Mr. President, Ghislaine Maxwell has been arrested on allegations of child sex trafficking. Why would you wish such a person
well? First of all, I don't know that, but I do know that
she has. She's been arrested for that.
Her
friend
or boyfriend,
Epstein,
was either killed or committed suicide.
He doesn't know these people, right?
She's now in jail.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I wish you well. I'd wish you well. I'd wish a lot of people well. Good luck. Let them prove somebody was guilty. I mean, do you know that
she's so you're saying you hope she doesn't die in jail. Is that what you mean by wish her well?
Her boyfriend died in jail, and people are still trying to figure out, how did it happen? Was it suicide? Was he killed? And I do wish you well. I'm not looking for anything bad for her. I'm not looking bad for anybody. And they took that and
made it
such a big deal. But all it is her boyfriend died. He died in jail. Was he killed? Was it suicide? I do. I wish her well.
Isn't it amazing what an actor he is? That he hung out with these people for 15 years. He was one of the closest people to them. And yet, supposedly, he doesn't know anything about, yeah, I've heard that name somewhere. I haven't heard that name for a long time. Well, her boyfriend or whoever it is. Yeah, he was pretty close to this guy. As a matter of fact, as they point out in some of these documents released, Trump had a book that was published in 2004. This is before they had their divorce over competition and over a property in West Palm Beach. And he referenced in the book somebody called Mysterious Jeffrey. And less than 2 years after the New York Magazine had written an article titled Jeffrey Epstein, International Money Man of Mystery. Now, don't you think that when he's hanging out with them, when they're going to all these parties all the time, don't you think they'd laugh about that and call him Mystery Man? You know, tease him about that type of thing. 2004 book Trump wrote, so Trump : How to Get Rich, because that's all he cares about. Trump wrote about taking a call from a man that he named the Mysterious Jeffrey. As mysterious as Jeffrey is, he's one of the few people I know who can get by on just a first name. My staff never asked for a last name in his case, which in a way puts him right up there with Elvis. Not that Elvis calls much these days, but you never know. Not that Jeffrey calls much these days, but you never know. There's a possibility that he may still be alive. Anyway, it is unclear if the mysterious Jeffrey is Epstein, and the White House did not address it in a comment to CNN, they reported. Well, you can draw your own conclusions. I think it's very interesting. Travis, I didn't put this in the thing. See if you can pull up this this tweet here. That's put out by, let's see, who's the person here? ABHI. Quote, he raped me. Donald J. Trump allegedly raped her along with Jeffrey Epstein, a woman later found dead. It was ruled a suicide despite officers saying that that wasn't possible. There are allegations cited in the document. These are not rumors. If there's nothing to hide, release all the Epstein files. And when you look at this, this is what I'd like to pull up if we can. When you look at this document, it looks like some kind of a IBM punch card, Hollerith code, because it's got black squares, rectangles all over it. Now, those are there to cover up Trump's name. And whoever posted this posted up two different versions of it because they were able to get two different versions of it. One that was the redacted version from the Trump people. The other one that was something they got from a court record. You know, there were people joking about this, and they said, well, maybe this is the Trump redacted Christmas card. Merry Christmas from President. It's redacted with a big black bar. And First Lady Melania Trump, and then the two of them are standing there, and there's a black box over his face. Well, yeah, President redacted. But it's kind of amazing when you look at what was actually written on this. So-and-so, and some of these things are still redacted, was asked about his time driving a limousine for 2 years in Dallas-Fort Worth area. During this time as a driver, he had met Donald Trump. He noted that he picked up the president in 1995, when he wasn't the president, when he was the best friend of Jeffrey Epstein. And he took him to the Dallas-Fort Worth airport. So as I reported some of the things that Trump had spoken about during the ride, while his cell phone there was very concerning. He said it was a few seconds from pulling the limousine over on the median and within a few seconds of pulling him out of the car and attacking him for the things that he was saying, hitting him, you know. Some of the things he was saying is the caller chose not to talk about some of the things. He noted that Trump continuously stated the name Jeffrey, the mysterious Jeffrey, while on the phone, and made reference to, quote, abusing some girl, unquote.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Unsure if he was talking, who he was talking to, or what he was referring to. As this guy talked about his time meeting Trump, immediately his demeanor went stone cold as he said, he raped me. I said, what? He said, replied, Trump had raped her along with Jeffrey Epstein. So this is someone else that he had met. He noted that some girl with a funny name took me into a fancy hotel at a building, and that's how it happened, he said. So this guy advised to call the police regarding the incident, as stated. She said, I can't. They'll kill me. That was on Christmas Day. Contacted, stated that she had, in fact, called the police about what they had talked about, told him that she had done good. I didn't hear from her until 1-10-2000. Then reached out to her, saying it was, they reached out and said that she was dead, and noted that she was found with her head blown off in Kiefer, Oklahoma. Officers on the scene had said that there was no way that that was a suicide. Coroner stated that it was a suicide. Later stated that she committed suicide because she'd gotten cocaine from a Mexican drug cartel. Feels that the murder is cover for Ghislaine Maxwell. So stuff like this. And I apologize for some of the discontinuity here. It's difficult to read. There's very small print and a lot of redactions there. But again, the mysterious man, Jeffrey. You know, 40 minors have given sworn testimony that they've been raped and trafficked by Jeffrey Epstein. But, you know, Kash Patel had said that, no, it didn't happen. There's no credible information that Jeffrey trafficked minors. No credible explanation of why he would do that, right? Except one of the things we saw was Epstein proudly wearing this Israeli Defense Force shirt. There is an interesting connection there, of course. And even Peter Thiel is reluctant to criticize the IDF.
What do you think about the use of artificial intelligence, or Lavender, by the IDF in identifying Hamas targets?
Look, without going into all the I'm not on top of all the details of what's going on in Israel, because my bias is to defer to Israel. It's not for us to second guess everything. And I believe that broadly the IDF gets to decide what it wants to do, and that they're broadly in the right. And that's sort of the perspective I come back to.
Yeah, we have to understand, they always get to decide what they want to do, and they are always right. So why would he say something like that? You really stuttered. They put him on the spot. Is it blackmail? Is it death threats? Who knows what's going on? I mean, when you go back and look at the Hulk Hogan situation, that was vengeance from Peter Thiel for being outed as a homosexual by Gawker. And so he's got some skeletons in his closet that he doesn't want people to know about. What else is there? He funded that lawsuit by Hulk Hogan in order to put Gawker out of business. And so when these people start stammering and stuttering, when they give you lies about what is really happening, remember this interrogation. This is Senator Kennedy, a Republican from Louisiana, talking to Cash Patel about the absurdity of the line coming out of the Trump administration.
No credible information. None. If there were, I would bring the case yesterday that he trafficked to other individuals. And the information we have, again, is limited. But,
so the answer is no one?
For the information that we have.
In the files?
In the case file.
Okay.
Okay, okay. Well, you know, 40 minors have testified that they were trafficked, raped. But it's all Jeffrey Epstein. Nobody else is involved. None whatsoever. And Cash Patel can assure you of that. Well, the reality is, and I saw this meme, this is really what's going on with the Trump administration. Rapidly going downhill, the whole lot of them, because it is their credibility that you're seeing there on that slope. Yeah, James Clapper, some people said, well, Cash Patel needs to be charged with perjury. Well, James Clapper never was charged with perjury. You think Cash Patel will be? Of course, James Clapper had a lot more friends in Washington than Cash Patel does. Cash better watch his back, as a matter of fact. There's a lot of FBI agents who are very upset with his, what they call his diva behavior. So he's made a lot of enemies just within his own organization. And then this is one of the files that came out when they got the unredacted version of this. People said when it was redacted, they saw Trump with a very young girl who had blonde hair, and they said, ah, it's Ivanka. Well, is it? Don't think so. This is another girl that he's with on the airplane. So, again, what are they going to say about that? You know, it's very important for people to wake up to what Donald Trump is from character. We've got to get over this idea that character doesn't matter. It absolutely matters, especially when you have somebody in a position of great power. And Republicans for the longest time have just said it doesn't matter. A good example of this is Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I hope that she's the first of many who are going to come to their senses over Donald Trump. And I hope she keeps speaking out. She had a big interview with New York Times, which got her a lot of criticism from Trump and the Trump crowd. She said, among other things, I never liked the MAGA Mar-a-Lago sexualization, she said. I believe women in leadership present themselves, how they present themselves, sends a message to younger women, and I have two daughters. I've always been uncomfortable with how those women puff up their lips and enlarge their breasts, she said. Because they pump up their lips and pump up their breasts. Somebody put a meme about Melania. Said she came into the country under false pretenses. She said that she was an anthropologist, and she was an expert at dating fossils. So, there we go. can get in here with the Epstein visa. And he goes, no, the Einstein visa. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene's broken with Trump on multiple issues since he returned to office this year. Disagreed with the strikes on the Iranian nuclear facilities in June, backed a bill to phase out the H-1B visa program, you know, the Einstein visas, after Trump defended it, and she called Israel's actions in Gaza a genocide. She also criticized GOP leadership for its inaction on the expiring affordable health care subsidies during the government shutdown. Again, this is part of the problem that happens with the Republican Party. They act like a ratchet to the actions of the Democrats. So now it's a given that government's got to do something about health insurance. They own that now. They own the responsibility for that. No, they shouldn't. The reality is that there's a lot of problems with the healthcare system. And it starts with the way they treat people, the way they give people things that are neither safe nor effective, and the amount of money that they charge. But there's, you know, the insurance thing is just a symptom of a lot of underlying problems that are not being taken care of. Nevertheless, government should now fix health care. But anyway, so I would disagree with her on that. She also then pushed for the...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Files to be released regarding Epstein. And that was the bridge too far for Trump. So now it is full-on war. He had promised to, of course, to release it. And then he fought the release. He absolutely destroyed the credibility of Mike Johnson. Not a shred of it left. The links that he went to, completely dismissing Congress, keeping it in recession during the government shutdown, which had never been done before, and refusing to swear in somebody who was elected for 50 days to keep her from voting to release these Epstein files. And then Trump, realizing that he's going to be on the losing end, flip-flops and tells everybody, no, I want you to vote for it. So then it was nearly unanimous when they did that. She said, our side has, and this is true, listen to this, our side has been trained by Trump to never apologize, to never admit when you're wrong. You just keep pummeling your enemies no matter what. And as a Christian, I don't believe in doing that, she said. Good. So the New York Times interview inside Marjorie Taylor Greene's break with Trump and with MAGA, she says, I was just so naive. What was it, she said, that helped to turn things around? She said, 11 days after Charlie Kirk was killed in September, she was watching the memorial service on TV. She said, what stayed with her long afterwards was the two speakers who took the stage. First was Kirk's widow, Erica. And I understand there's a lot of questions about her credibility. Look, if you go back and look at the records, I had a lot of concerns about Charlie Kirk from the very beginning. I saw that he took the name of Turning Point and then added USA to it. And I said, this is going to be, he's going to use a Christian veneer, because that was something that was already the name of a program by a very well-known Christian broadcaster. David Jeremiah, you hear him on Christian radio all the time. Was Turning Point. I said, nah, when you look at that, you look at what he's doing, you know, I understand what his angle is. This is where he's going to raise a lot of money. And so I look at these guys as like a mega church grifter. But the good news is that the good news can still get through some of that. As Paul said, some people preach Christ out of greed, some out of envy. But we just celebrate when it is preached. And so there is that that's there. And regardless of what Erica Kirk has done in the past or how she has misrepresented things, and I'm not going to get into all that kind of stuff. It's like a soap opera. I would just leave it at this. I would say don't trust them. Don't trust them. I mean, when she does something like saying that she forgives the killer, that's a very Christian thing to do. And I commend her for that. And Charlie Kirkin had some very Christian things that he said. And of course, in anybody's life, you can always find non-Christian things. But the key thing is, I believe that they are controlled by the donors, by the money. And we know who is giving them lots and lots of money. Anyway, she said, so the first one getting up is Erica, who stood before the crowd filling the Arizona Stadium, lifted up her tear-filled eyes and said she forgave her husband's killer. Then there was Trump, who said Charlie was a missionary with a noble spirit and a great, great purpose. He didn't hate his opponents. He wanted the best for them. That's where I disagree with Charlie, said Trump. I hate my opponents, and I don't want the best for them. Is that a Christian thing to say? Well, Christ himself said, if you forgive those who trespass against you, my Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive them, then neither will my Heavenly Father forgive you. And that's what basically what she's saying. She said, that was absolutely the worst statement, Green said. In contrast to Erica Kirk, the president was clarifying. She said, it just shows where his heart is. And that's the difference. With her having a sincere Christian faith and proving that he does not have any faith. And she said that was a wake-up call for her. I thought, that was a wake-up call for her? I mean, certainly it should be a wake-up call. But why, at this point in 2025, when we go back to 2015. And let's see, where is that clip, Travis, that I put in late? Yeah, here it is. Okay. If we go back to 2015, here's what he had to say when he was asked about his past.
So you're telling me you
That's
still
not
think
it.
Organ.
Okay. That's mislabeled. Do we know where that is? The Norman Vincent Peale reference? Can you play that? Or do you have it? Okay. We don't have that?
Give me a sec.
Okay. Back in 2015, if you remember, the guy who would do, can't remember what his name was. He would do all of the polling stuff for Fox News. And he would even set things up and have real-time pulse. You know, you've got people in the audience and they're doing it now. Well, I feel good about this. I don't feel good about this. And it was kind of ridiculous. But he asked him a question because it was at a family values conference. This is 2015 when he's running for president in the 2016 election. And he asked him if he ever asked for forgiveness. And he had some interesting things to say, but I guess we'll just move on here. Green's reaction put her in a distinct minority among influential conservative figures. Almost immediately after Kirk was declared dead, many of her comrades on the right, people like Elon Musk, Jesse Waters, Steve Bannon, labeled the killing an act of war by the left and exhorted their audience to think in similar terms. Marjorie Taylor Greene, who for years took a back seat to no one when it came to reactionary rhetoric, going so far before she was in office as to accuse Democrats, including Pelosi, of treasonous conduct. Well, she was right about that. And adding that treason was punishable by imprisonment or death. She realized that she had suddenly lost all appetite for vengeance. She later told a friend who confirmed the exchange, after Charlie died, I realized that I was a part of this toxic culture. I really started looking at my faith, and I wanted to be more like Christ, rather than more like Trump. And these are polar opposites. We need to look at Trump as an antichrist. I don't necessarily say the antichrist. I don't rule that out. But he is an antichrist because he is against Christ and Christ's teachings. He is antithetical to Christ and opposes what Christ has told us. Later on, maybe we have this clip that works. Jake Tapper also asked him about forgiveness.
You said that you've never asked God for forgiveness. Do you regret making that remark?
No, I have great relationship with God. I have great relationship with the evangelicals. In fact, nationwide...
Well, they're not God.
...up by a lot. I'm leading everybody. But I like to be good. I don't like to have to ask for forgiveness, and I am good. I don't do a lot of things that are bad. I try and do nothing that's bad.
The life you have now, when you say that you try to do good, that sounds very different from decades of tabloid media coverage in New York, in which some of your wilder escapades were.
Well, I'm talking about over the last number of years.
Okay.
I'm leading a very good life. I try to lead a good life, and I have. And frankly, the reason I'm doing so well in Iowa and leading the polls, including the CNN poll, where I'm 33-20 in Iowa.
Again, it's about his polling as to whether or not he is liked by the evangelicals. Well, the reality is that the standard is perfection. You know, as Christ said, do you hate somebody?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When you hate somebody, that's the same as killing them. And maybe in Trump's case, there actually was murder. But even if you clean up your life, even if you do wonderful things, let's say that you don't start 5 new wars, but instead you brought peace to 8 different wars, which he claims, but the data doesn't back that up. But let's suppose that you stop starting wars, and let's say that you stop the wars that are existing, and you do all kinds of things. You make everybody prosperous and happy. Is that going to commend you to God? No. You still have, if God is holy, then perfection is the standard. And there is no way to get rid of that past except by forgiveness. And in that earlier clip, which we now have, this is what he had first said.
One more, because you used the word Christian. Have you ever asked God for forgiveness? That's a tough question. I don't think in terms of, I'm a religious person. Shockingly, because people are so shocked when they find this out, I'm Protestant, I'm Presbyterian, and I go to church and I love God and I love my church. And Norman Vincent Peale, the great Norman Vincent Peale, was my pastor.
The first prosperity gospel guy.
Everybody's heard of Norman Vincent Peale. He was so great. He would give a sermon, you never wanted to leave. Sometimes we have sermons, and every once in a while we think about leaving a little early, right, even though we're Christian. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, Frank, would give a sermon. I'm telling you, I still remember his sermons. It was unbelievable. And what he would do is he'd bring real life situations, modern day situations, into the sermon.
You know, like prosperity.
And you could listen to him all day long. When you left the church, you were disappointed that it was over. He was the greatest guy. And then, you know, he passed away, but he was a great, he wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, which is a great book.
But have you ever asked God for forgiveness?
I'm not sure I have. I just go and try and do a better job from there. I don't think so. I think if I do something wrong, I think I just try and make it right. I don't bring God into that picture. I don't. Now, when I take, you know, when we go in church and when I drink my little wine, which is about the only wine I drink, and have my little cracker, I guess that's a form of asking for forgiveness. And I do that as often as possible because I feel cleansed, okay? But, you know, to me, that's important. I do that. But in terms of officially, I could say absolutely, and everybody, I don't think in terms of that. I think in terms of let's go on and let's make it right. So let's.
So I play that not so much because we know where Trump is with this stuff. I play that because I hope that's not you. I hope that's not the way that you're reacting to God. That is the real meaning of Christmas, the incarnation of Christ and what he came to do and what you are not able to do. You can't make that right. And there's nothing that you could do to make that right. So just please understand that. And so Marjorie Taylor Greene went on to criticize Trump's meeting with Zelensky on Sunday and Netanyahu yesterday. She said, so we have Zelensky today and Netanyahu tomorrow. Can we just do America? You know, you had one job to do. That's the President of the United States. Not the president of Ukraine, not the leader of NATO, not the president of Israel. You had one job you were elected to do, the president of the United States. This is the divided loyalty that people are looking at. And this the divided loyalty that we have seen in so many people who have been bought and sold, or maybe they have done it because they're mistaken in their theology. I don't know if what Huckabee's motivations are. There's no way that I can judge that. But to honor a traitor like Jonathan Pollard, to forgive a traitor, he has forgiven. You know, what did Trump do? He forgave the guy who was one of the worst traitors in American history. He betrayed us to the country that owns Trump, that he declared his fealty to, that he prostituted himself to. You know, I'm here to collect money. I'll be the best guy that you can have. You owned Congress, and rightfully so. But they're not working for you anymore. I will. You can own me, is what he's saying to them. And they do own him. And so you can expect next year a larger war with Iran that Netanyahu is demanding. And, of course, he's not just demanding money and missiles. He's going to demand that we fight for him. We're going to have to go bomb Iran for him. And there's a lot of people in Congress, like Lindsey Graham, the junior John McCain, bomb, 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 Iran. That's one thing that our foreign policy has been focused on all of my life, is destroying Iran. Even when they had the Shah of Iran there, they were working on destroying the Iranian people by using their puppet, their totalitarian puppet. And so I think she got it. I think she got it exactly right when she says, you know, can't we just do America? This is the temptation for all these presidents, their egos, and to play on the world stage, to be the leader on the world stage. They don't want to fix things in America. They want to break things everywhere on earth. Well, we're going to take a quick break. An empowered Christian writes, he's the biggest, he's the bestest Christian. Well, it's not surprising that if he... It just goes on and on and on about Norman Vincent Peale, that all of his quote-unquote spiritual advisors are these grifting prosperity pastors like Paula White. Just understand that is not anything, has nothing to do with Christ, his work, or the life of a Christian. That kind of prosperity gospel is antithetical to that. If you want your best life now, you're not living as a Christian. That is one thing for sure. We're going to take a quick break, folks, and we will be right back.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
I wish I had the Christmas Night album.
Hot dog!
You can get the Christmas Night album at thedavidknightshow.com for just $13.99. It's right in the second floor there, see?
What'd you wish, George?
Well, not just one wish, a whole hat full. First, I'm going to the David Knight
Show. The seed in our home, my boy.
Whoops, okay. Hit that by accident. Well, we are back, and actually what I was trying to do was to get to something completely different, because I want to talk about censorship.
Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com is a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Yeah, Klaus. Your annual global risk report makes for a stunning and sobering read. For the global business community, the top concern for the next 2 years is not conflict or climate. It is disinformation and misinformation, followed closely by polarization within our societies.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. You are listening to The David Knight Show.
Yes, and so you have the EU is focused on censorship. That's their number one priority, as Ursula von der Leyen has said. And this is an article on The Hill from Jonathan Turley, and this is... Listen to the irony of this. We are the free world now, quote unquote. Europe declares war on free speech in the U.S. Yeah, they actually said that. What an absurd position. We're the free world, and we're going to show you how we're all about freedom by censoring free speech. And, of course, it's Thierry Breton and Ursula Fond of Lying and all the rest of this. As Thierry Breton came to the U.S. to threaten Elon Musk over censorship, you will censor who we tell you to censor. And now they are saying, as the U.S. is putting its foot down over the fact that they are now censoring, want to censor speech for everybody in the world, not just for their poor benighted nations there. We are the free world. Those are the words from Raphael Glucksmann, a French socialist member of the European Parliament, captured the pearl-clutching outrage of Europeans after the Trump administration did what no prior administration has ever done: stand up to Europe and defend the freedom of speech. And yet, we are not the champions of free speech either, while they are working to censor Americans at home. What Americans? Well, anybody that says anything that Trump doesn't like, he wants to censor the free press. He wants to censor free speech on campuses if people criticize Gaza. And I don't care what your position is on Gaza. You can be for Israel or against Israel, but there's absolutely no excuse for people like the ADL and Randy Fine and other people to criminalize political speech in the United States. I don't care if you disagree with it. When you do that, you have shown that you are the villain. You've shown that you have something to cover up. I got to say that, when I see people who say, and I've seen one guy who brags about the fact that, oh, yeah, I turned you in. I turned you in. I reported you on the Hitchcock thing. Hey, pal, you know what? The lowest form of troll is somebody who seeks to censor. That says that you have no answers to anything. And when you see the people who are out there pushing for censorship of Israel, they call everybody racist, 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 just like the left. And it's the cancel culture of the Zionists, the cancel culture of the quote-unquote conservatives, because neither the conservatives don't want to conserve free speech, and the liberals don't want freedom or liberty, right? It's a fraud. It's as fraudulent as what the EU is saying when you got a socialist saying, we are the free world now. So this week, Marco Rubio, barred five figures closely associated with European censorship efforts from traveling to the United States. It includes Thierry Breton, the guy that I call conspiracy theory. And yet, interestingly, Trump never stood up for free speech from 2018 on, when social media was doing it. Now that the EU wants to censor the social media people that, like Musk and others, now he's standing up to them. But he wouldn't stand up to the censorship that's being done by social media. They were complicit with it. They were using it. And now Israel is demanding censorship of certain things, and Trump is going to censor that. He is not a champion of free speech. The Trump administration is not either. Rubio declared the U.S. will no longer tolerate these egregious acts of extraterrestrial censorship. They will target leading figures of global censorship industrial complex from entering the United States. Conspiracy theory Breton achieved infamy as one of the architects of the massive EU censorship system, boasting about his Digital Services Act, threatening American companies, particularly Musk, and officials that they would have to yield to European standards of free speech. And this is why we're doing it, because it's Musk. After Breton learned that Musk was planning to interview Trump before the last presidential election, he even warned Musk that he would be monitored and potentially subject to EU fines. Now they're putting those fines through. Socialist Glucksmann is now irate at this scandalous sanction against Thierry Breton. Well, again, you should be free to threaten, but censorship is not anything that we should ever embrace, regardless of what you think about any issue or what your political stance is or anything. You've got to hang on to free speech. That is fundamental to everything. This is a war over whether Europe or the U.S. Constitution will dictate free speech for American countries and citizens, says Jonathan Turley. So the EU has been enlisted by anti-free speech figures in the U.S. to force companies like X and Facebook to restore censorship of Americans. Restore? No, it hasn't left for many of us. Nina Jankowicz, the former head of Biden's infamous Disinformation Governance Board, appeared before the European Parliament and called upon the 27 EU countries to fight against the U.S. Actually, she's calling for them to fight against the Constitution. The EU enthusiastically took up the challenge, and this year, Jonathan Turley says he spoke at in Berlin at the World Forum, which boosted the slogan, "A New World Order with European Values." Bill and Hillary Clinton and other Americans cheered on the European efforts of censorship. The Digital Services Act bars speech viewed as disinformation or incitement. European Commission Executive Vice President Vestager celebrated by declaring that it is, quote, not a slogan anymore, that what is illegal offline should also be seen and dealt with as illegal online. Now it's a real thing. Democracy is back with censorship coming in. Yeah. What kind of democracy are you going to have if you can't, people cannot speak their mind about politics? It is indeed a real thing. He says, in my forthcoming book, I discuss the challenges facing a republic in the 21st century, including the EU and its transnational governance model. Many on the left are supporting the erosion of national laws and values in favor of standards set by global experts and elites. Well, here's the good news. I want to talk to you in a little bit here about some of the comments that Doug Casey has about what's coming up in the new year. And I think he's very wise. He's one of these guys that looks at trends like Gerald Celente. And, you know, interesting to see what Gerald Celente thinks about the EU. Doug Casey's take on this, and again, it's very easy for us to be drawn into somebody's trend because we want to see it happen. But he thinks that the EU as well as the Euro are going to go on the rubbish bin of history very soon. And I think it might happen, quite frankly, if you look at some of the things that are happening below the level of the farmers and other things like that. Mainstream media doesn't like to talk about it. Alternative media doesn't really care to talk about it either because they're mainly focused on what Trump do today. But I think that's a real issue there. There's so much people realizing how these bureaucrats in the EU are destroying their lives, their countries, and everything else. I think that's a real reality. So the EU and its transnational governance model, that's really it. You know, global governance. Not necessarily a global seat of government, but they want to be able to govern everything globally. So Jimmy Kimmel decided that he would go to Great Britain for Christmas Eve and denounce the U.S. as a global threat to free speech. Can you think of anywhere in other than the U.K. where there is a greater threat to free speech to individuals? Certainly Trump is a threat to free speech in the U.S. He is a threat to TV networks, to the press, to comedians, to satire. And so he's right about that. It's not one or the other. But it's amazing that he could be so blind to the censorship that is happening in the U.K. and how they're punishing speech on social media. From a fascism perspective, this has been a really great year. Tyranny is booming over here, said Jimmy Kimmel, talking about the U.S., not about Great Britain. It was a crushing irony. Many of us have been writing for years about how free speech has been eviscerated in the U.K. But the reality is it's being eviscerated in both places, just in different ways by different political parties. So you can be blind to it if you're conservative. Jonathan Turley doesn't say anything about the attacks on free speech and the press, about the attacks against people that are demanded by Israel. He only talks about the attacks on free speech. They're demanded by the EU. Everybody is against free speech. The left, the right, Europe, Israel, everybody hates it. Justice Amy Coney Barrett issued a warning this week about the collapse of free speech in the UK. Yet that is where a comedian who's paid millions of dollars attacks Trump nightly went to complain about the threat to free speech in the U.S. Well, I just don't understand the partisanism here. I mean, if he's going to look at free speech, it doesn't matter if the censor's got an R or a D behind their name, Jonathan Turley. Come on, get over this. In reality, he says, I don't like travel bans. I prefer these figures come to this country and face free speech advocates. Yet, despite our calls for Congress to get into this fight, Congress has done nothing. Congress does nothing on every issue. They are completely AWOL if they're not wrong about something. If they ever do anything, it's usually wrong. But for the most part, they don't do anything. They hold show trials. They kick responsibility over to the bureaucracy. They let the bureaucracy write rules. They don't write laws, and they don't even check the bureaucracy to see what they're doing.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So the ADL has gone ballistic after Megyn Kelly says that Barry Weiss and Ben Shapiro are making anti-Semites. And again, it's the calls for censorship. They're led by the Israeli lobby that you have to pay attention to. And I don't like what Megyn Kelly is doing here. As I've said many times, don't think that, and I have, it's amazing to, as we talk to people that I haven't talked to for years now. I mean, gone from InfoWars for 5 years. And I was fired for opposing Trump and his lies about January the 6th, the lockdown, the pandemic, the vaccine, and all the rest of the stuff. They think that, because they don't know any of that, they think that I support Trump. Because he used to work at a place that has become his handmaid. And so I don't like to have be lumped into different groups like this. When I would go abroad, you know, oh, you're American. Oh, you support this war, that war. No, I don't. I wish I had control and could stop that, but I can't. And so there are people who are Jews who can't control what the Israeli government is doing. And, you know, these people who are supporting war, we need to understand who they are. And we need to make a distinction between a government and the people that are being oppressed by that same government. And Netanyahu was horrific during the COVID nonsense. He used his people as guinea pigs. He offered them up to Pfizer. Said, you give us, put us at the front of the line for your shots, and we'll give you all the data that you want. That's an admission that it hasn't been tested, right? You're going to use your own people for something that hasn't been tested. And I said, you know, don't talk to me about Mengele when you've got somebody like Netanyahu doing this to Jews on a massive basis. And so it's very important for us to distinguish those two. And one of the things that Megyn Kelly is not doing is she is conflating these people who are Zionists and saying, they represent all Jews. They don't. And the people who are doing what the Israeli government does is not representing all people. Israel is a political government. Netanyahu got a minority of the vote. He got the most of all these different political parties that are there. But he got less than 50%. And he tried many times to create a coalition government, which is what parliamentary governments typically do. You have a lot of different parties. It can be difficult to get past 50%. And so what happens is you have a coalition that has to be formed afterwards. He had to have three different elections because he's unable to form a government. There's a lot of dissent against Netanyahu. Now, he's used that war to consolidate his base significantly there. But tensions peaked at Turning Point USA's AmFest conference last week, where Shapiro downplayed the 67 USS Liberty incident in which Israel attacked a U.S. Navy ship and killed 34 Americans, calling it a mistake. I don't believe it was a mistake. And the people who were there, as you heard, I played that clip last week, a guy who was on the USS Liberty didn't believe it was a mistake. If you fired off a missile, disabled or sunk a ship, that could be a mistake. But if you circle around and you make repeated runs at the same ship with a large American flag flying with radio signals being sent out, if you continue that attack for a very prolonged time, it's not a mistake if you keep doing it. And so killed 34 Americans in the attack. And so a lot of people push back against that. Was it a mistake when Jonathan Pollard betrayed us to Israel? Was it a mistake when Israel gave information that would put our military in danger when they sold that information to Russia to get some of their prisoners out? Was that a mistake as well? Shapiro, who frequently invokes the Holocaust, dismissed the incident as largely irrelevant today because it occurred so long ago. This is the same type of thing I saw with Laura Loomer and with Tim Pool when they were talking about the vaccine. No, don't talk to me about the vaccine. You know, that's 4 years ago. Let's talk about how the election was stolen from Trump 4 years ago. Tucker Carlson bashed Shapiro for calling a young woman who posed a question about the USS Liberty a Hitlerite moments prior. So the next day at the Heritage Foundation, Shapiro escalated the criticism. He issued a blistering jeremiah that recalled William F. Buckley's attempted excommunication of the far right. They say William F. Buckley was somebody who worked for the CIA. You want to talk about somebody's controlled opposition. You might want to look at somebody who is the quintessential conservative, and he works for the CIA. He's got a job on NPR. I think this is the establishment's man, quite frankly. And, of course, he went after the John Birch Society, real conservatives, a real grassroots movement. He did his best to purge them. And he purged people like Joe Sobran out of National Review because Joe Sobran was America first. He said, let's stop giving money to all these different foreign governments. Well, if you say that, even if you make that a blanket statement, if you include Israel in that as a foreign government that is getting a lot of money from American taxpayers, that is accumulating with interest, if you include them in that, well, then that makes you anti-Semitic, even though you're saying that about all of foreign welfare and the entangling alliances. Shapiro extended his criticism to those who he said have, quote, refused to condemn Candace Owens' truly vicious attacks, naming Megyn Kelly, Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon. A few hours later on the same stage, Carlson fired back. He said, to hear calls for deplatforming and denouncing people at a Charlie Kirk event, I'm like, what? I mean, this kind of thing was the whole point of Charlie Kirk's public life. And he says that he died for that. In other words, this is antithetical to everything that Charlie Kirk was about, going to colleges where they were shutting down free speech and saying, let's have a debate about this. Let's talk about this. Well, Ben Shapiro is calling for is censorship. He's calling for his opponents to be shut down. That, folks, is the ultimate sign of weakness when you have to try to silence other people. I always think about that the first time we encountered Antifa, and Karen was at a pro-life demonstration at the abortion clinic in Austin, and they had signs up You know, the one she was holding was Black Genocide. And Antifa shows up. This guy's got a black sign. It doesn't say anything. It's like, you know, one of these redaction things from the Jeffrey Epstein documents. And he comes up and he stands in front of her and he puts that sign up so that people can't see her sign. He had nothing to say. He simply wanted to shut down what she was saying. So she moved her sign down. He moves his sign down. She moves her up, hers up, and he goes up. So the two of them are going up and down and up and down. And I'll never forget that. And I'll never forget that is the essence of the left. But it's now become the essence of the right as well. If you don't have an answer for people, then you just want to censor them. And you call them racist, right? That's the other thing. Call them racist. And those are the two telltale signs that people are wrong about something. So Megyn Kelly said, young Republicans are turning on Israel. She argued that figures like Ben Shapiro and Barry Weiss are actually fueling the rise of anti-Semitism. And again, I think we need to make a distinction between anti-Israeli government and anti-Semitism, meaning some kind of an animus towards everybody of an ethnic background. It's not the same thing. And as I pointed out with the Mamdani election, they're both conservative Jews that were Orthodox Jews who voted for Mamdani as a protest against Israeli's government and Netanyahu, as well as a liberal who was there. He's basically a socialist himself, but voting for that. So you have different people, different opinions. We shouldn't put people in boxes. Megyn Kelly's recent comments cross a dangerous line, accusing Jews of making anti-Semites, said the ADL. Calling Ben Shapiro Israel first invokes the age-old anti-Semitic dual loyalty trope. Except you see that there. You actually see a dual loyalty trope with Zionists like Huckabee and with Trump. It's not just you don't have to be Jewish to have dual loyalty. You can be somebody who is a political prostitute for sale, and you can have dual loyalty as well. Clearly, there was dual loyalty for Jonathan Pollard, except in the sense that I guess he was really loyal just to one organization, right? You can only serve one master. You can't serve two. And that's what we understand about this. That's why we say, can we just do America? Like Marjorie Taylor Greene said. So, again, dual loyalty, except they don't have any example of Shapiro putting U.S. first over Israel. Can you think of that? Has there ever been a situation where he says, well, this is what Israel wants, but this is what is good for America? And since I'm an American, I'm going to go that. Have you ever seen that happen with Ben Shapiro? I haven't. I'd be interested if you have.
I know I say this every single time, but if that statement in the Bible is true, you know, if you're interpreting correctly where he says, if you bless Israel, I'll bless you.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's not. We've covered that. But then show the blessings. How are we blessed? What benefit have we received from Israel? Point to them. Show me them. Give me one example. Oh, we've got a democracy in the Middle East. That's not a benefit. That doesn't do anything for us. Explain.
I'd like for them to show me the translation of the Bible that actually says that. I see that quoted all the time by Huckabee, by Ted Cruz. There is no translation of the Bible that says that. It would be an historical absurdity because Israel was a name that was given to Jacob, who's the grandson of Abraham, and that was the second name that was given to him. That happened a long time after Abraham. So it wouldn't have made any sense. Abraham would have said, what is Israel? Never heard of that name. It's absurd. Somebody to say this is one of the most absurdly stupid things I've ever heard anybody say about the Bible is to say that. Because what it says is, I'll bless those who bless you. And that's a little bit ambiguous in the English language. But it is not in the original Hebrew ambiguous, and it's not in the King James Version English. When it says the, that means a particular person. You can be, you is referring to a group of people, but the is referring to a particular person. It's saying I was going to bless those who bless Abraham. So Megyn Kelly fired back and told the ADL, nice try, but these labels don't work anymore. Instead of attacking me, they should listen to me. or that you keep on and create more new enemies. And so a lot of pro-Israel accounts are calling her Grandma Groiper. That might actually get under her skin a little bit. Anyway, the ADL, meanwhile, is bragging about the fact, this is Jonathan Greenblatt, that the seven largest Jewish communities hold biweekly meetings to share tips to draft legislation. And and they're organizing that. They said, we actually call ourselves the J7. But, of course, you know, if the John Birch Society does it to support rather than to undermine the Constitution, then they need to be purged by people like William F. Buckley, right? They've called evil, and they have to be purged. But it's fine when Israel does the same thing. And I think, quite frankly, it is okay for them to do that. We just need to understand that they are not organizing things in the interest of America. They're organizing things in the interest of a foreign government. That's the difference. So the J7, as I said, we said, is comprised of the seven largest Jewish diaspora communities. This was the ADL VP of International Policy, Susan Heller Pinto. She said this on an ADL call. I'm quoting her. We meet every other week via Zoom to share information, to share best practices, and we share what worked for our communities and what hasn't worked, what might work elsewhere. We've shared tips, draft legislation that might work in other countries, or spoken of different litigation. We have meetings, some of them are off the record, some of them are on the record with world leaders, in which we share our community's concerns and call for action. So we were assured repeatedly, says Information Liberation, we were assured repeatedly over the last several weeks that when Tucker Carlson interviewed Nick Fuentes, that to say that there's such a thing as organized Jewry or is an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. And yet here they brag about it. They also brag about the fact that they have canceled people and will cancel people again in the future. That's why, you know, we look at Mark Levin screaming about that. Yeah, we canceled a lot of people with that. We're going to do more people like that. It's like, where does he get off writing the Liberty Amendments? A guy that doesn't even support, somebody who's a professional speaker even, on politics, who doesn't support free speech, criticism, or debate of things that he believes in.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward. But that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com is a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Free speech is under fire nearly 300 times in 2025 on campus. This is a report from an organization, FIRE. I think it stands for the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, I think is what it stands for. Interesting thing, of course, is that this was Harvey Silverglate was a co-founder of FIRE. Harvey Silverglate is Jewish. He's the guy who wrote Three Felonies a Day, talking about how the law has become so complex, and also the idea that People are, this whole thing, ignorance of the law is no excuse. They pass these so many different little detailed laws about this and that, and people don't even know that they're breaking the law. And so he's criticized that aspect of it as well. But he actually began a foundation that was about free speech and individual rights because he saw those being trampled on, especially at colleges. And that's where they have kind of hung out. But, yeah, he's somebody I would like to interview someday, but I don't know if he's even doing them anymore. He's 83 now. But anyway, this is a Jewish guy who does not like censorship. 274 incidents involving interference to free speech have taken place so far on college campuses in 2025, according to FIRE, an increase from 2020's high of 252. Free speech advocates are stating college presidents have the ability to better protect the First Amendment rights of students and faculty in higher education. And FIRE is dedicated to defending the right to free speech. And this is another Weiss, not Barry Weiss, but Ryan Weiss, who said, our president, Greg Lukianoff, has a list of five ways that college presidents can immediately improve their environments for free speech. And this would apply everywhere, right? I mean, certainly colleges should, if they're really about learning, about ideas, about critical thinking, you can't have any of that without any free speech and debate. But this is something we should be looking at in every community. Colleges should commit to free speech protective Chicago statement and institutional neutrality before they're in the midst of free speech crisis. Appealing to these principles only when under fire can seem disingenuous. But late is better than never, she said. A strong reinstatement of commitment to free speech and non-punishment at the outset can diffuse these situations. Free speech orientation and ongoing education can be critical. Students often show up to campuses with no idea what the First Amendment means in practice. And they're being taught just the opposite. As a matter of fact, the majority of students who've been indoctrinated at college level believe that speech is violence. And it needs to be punished. It needs to be met with violence. Their ignorance about their rights might mean that they don't know that they can't be punished for expressing an opinion. Or it might mean that they wrongly think that shouting down and shutting down an event that they disagree with is an exercise of their rights. One recent incident took place at Vanguard University, Southern California, citing a newly adopted policy banning student organizations affiliated with political or ideological movements. They denied a Students for Life chapter recognition as a registered student organization. So these are people who are pro-life, anti-abortion. They were denied that because it was political or ideological. Well, that's exactly why both free speech and the free exercise of religion are combined in the First Amendment. You can't separate those two things. Another recent occasion collected by FIRE took place at a private school, a California Lutheran university. They voted down a proposal to reestablish a campus chapter of Turning Point USA due to safety concerns, inclusivity conflicts, and a belief that the club's alleged rhetoric could bring controversy to the campus, as stated by FIRE's database. So, let's not have any controversy. Let's not have any debate. We are all going to toe the line and say the same thing, or we will punish you if you don't say what we say. Yeah, isn't that amazing? Yeah, let's not have any conflict about this. The Keir Starmer regime is turning Britain into a police state, so that's where Jimmy Kimmel goes to complain about censorship in the U.S. And he should complain about censorship in the U.S. The U.K.'s crackdown on protests against the Gaza genocide is the worst example of the authoritarian trend in Western Europe. The U.K. is witnessing the largest, most significant prison hunger strike since 1981. Since the beginning of November, a total of 8 activists in pretrial detention for standing up to the Gaza genocide have been protesting against Israel's continuing mass murder, Britain's complicity, and their own abusive and petty treatment by, as it happens, the same infamous legal incarceration system that was used to torture Julian Assange on behalf of the U.S. The hunger strikers' demands also include releasing documents showing how Britain's extremely powerful Israel lobby has been influencing the government, and an end to the absurd proscription of the activists' own Palestine Action Organization, calling them terrorists. The charges against the activists refer to two cases, a break-in of a British branch of an Israeli arms manufacturer, Elbit Systems, and infiltration of a Royal Air Force base to damage two planes with red paint and crowbars. Well, that is not speech. And I think we need to make a distinction between those things. You know, when you look at January the 6th, for example, people had a right to show up to redress their grievances. That's what it says in the First Amendment. To do it peacefully. If they start getting violent, if they start destroying property, that is no longer speech. That's a different thing. And yet the Biden administration lumped all the people who did peacefully speak and protest in with the people who got violent and destructive. The core of terrorism for reasonable people is the deliberate use of violence against civilians, usually on a large scale, in order to produce a climate of fear and insecurity in pursuit of political aims. That definition does not cover by any stretch of the imagination what Palestine Action has been doing, treating its activists as the equivalent of Al-Qaeda and ISIS. Well, maybe they could, if they are the equivalent of Al-Qaeda and ISIS, maybe they could get a trip to the Pentagon. Maybe they could meet with some CIA officials. You know, Tim Osman did. So anyway, for the Starmer regime is engaged in not merely viciously going after a few people to make examples of them, even while risking their death to detention. Rather, it is applying a strategy of mass repression. According to Amnesty International, 2,700 peaceful protesters have been arrested simply for daring to protest the banning of Palestine Action. This is a violation of the UK's international obligations and disproportionate to the point of absurdity. Often those arrested, including the elderly, the infirm, the impaired, are picked up for holding a sign. And we played that clip. Remember the one guy said, I'm pro-genocide. He says, are you going to arrest me? No, we're not going to arrest you. he was there, but his fellow protesters were saying, you should be arrested. So they didn't support an opinion that they disagreed with either. Right? They were not pro-genocide, but they didn't support somebody who was pro, they didn't support the speech of somebody who was pro-genocide. Those British police officers executing those orders now will face their own children's questions of how they could stoop so low. If not now, then in a few years. Mumbling, I was just following orders, or we didn't know any better, will not be enough. So that's the key thing. It's not even about the issue. You can have a debate over the issue. You can get angry with people for disagreeing with you about the issue. What you can't do is criminalize free speech. Never, under any circumstances, for any issue, no matter how wrong somebody is. Keir Starmer knows what he's doing. He prides himself on being a human rights lawyer by training, which is a perverse choice for a power-hungry man without a conscience, one who runs a de facto police state and once misinformed the British public that Israel had a right to impose on Gaza what he must have known amounted to a starvation siege. Well, we can't even talk about proper English. How can we have a debate or free speech, right? You have a university writing center has rejected proper English, calling it linguistic white supremacy. I mean, maybe this is why we are losing the Magna Carta, why we're losing the Bill of Rights. Anything. You know, they're written in English. Maybe we should start to understand our own language.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward. But that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So we don't have to depend on some politicians or some people in black robes to translate it for us, right? Can you interpret this for us? It's written in some kind of English. I don't understand it. So that's why I say I don't need the Supreme Court to interpret the Constitution for me. I can read it myself and understand it. It's written in English. But today it appears that anyone can be a white supremacist. Journalist Larry Elder, all he had to do to become the black face of white supremacy was to run for governor in California. Now all you need to do to become the linguistic face of white supremacy is to uphold standard American English. If you do that, says the New American, Metropolitan State University of Denver, a writing center, of all things, a writing center, don't tell the students not to speak like a cross between Snoop Dogg and the rapist in the film Deliverance. Otherwise, you could be guilty of anti-black linguistic racism. Again, always the first thing they run to is labeling people racist. The Writing Center even rejected the standard American English exists at all. They fully support students in using their English, whatever that may be, in communicating their thoughts and ideas. That makes me think of of Airplane, where the actress who played June Cleaver in Leave It to Beaver. These black guys who are going back and forth, Jive talking, saying, excuse me, I speak Jive, I can translate for you. Having gotten blowback, the university is now doing damage control. The Writing Center said its directive was based on compliance with the Conference on College Composition and Communications June 2020 statement that demand black linguistic judgment. Should be demanding black linguistic judgment. Kind of like, I remember when Apple had all the signs up, think different. And every time I see that, I think, you need to think differently. You know, that is different. Their sign was different than standard American English. This disrespect for language standards generally predates even 2020's intensified racial politics and racial politics itself. As he points out, more than a decade ago, we heard about creative spelling. A student was allowed to spell words any way that they sounded to them. So he said, I said at the time that we should respond by offering teachers and administrators creative paychecks so we can pay you whatever we think you're worth. It's really hard teaching students proper English, especially with discipline lacking in the modern schools, yeah. So we'll just let the kids spell words any way that they want, and we'll call it pedagogy. They won't call it that because they've not seen that word anywhere. Well, we're going to take a quick break with that, and before we take a break, we'll do the comments here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with Ukraine and the massive attacks going back and forth between Russia and Ukraine at the same time and what the risk is for Zelensky if he actually has peace. Makes it pretty clear why this guy does not want peace if we take a look at what's happening in the country. Go ahead, Travis. Let's cover the comments.
That's right. We have Patty Wax says, if David has never been involved with the pro-Israel churches in the U.S., he's a bit naive as to how Huckabee became Huckabee. It's pushed like a cult, and the people very much involved in President Kirk's assassination are part of one of the biggest pushers of it all.
I'm familiar with Hagee's church. I never went to it in San Antonio. And I think that's probably one of the worst ones that I know about. But, of course, all of these organizations are pushed together with Friends of Zion. And this is a guy who has been joined at the hip with the Israeli government and the military and getting lots of Israeli money. He was the one who brought in Was it 1,000 pastors I talked about last week, I think? And they all get a basket and this and that. And they go back and they start preaching to people about the supremacy of Israel instead of the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the big issue, folks. And this is why I just let this stuff go for a while. But I cannot let it go when people start, and churches, start replacing Christ with a political state. This is rank idolatry and blasphemy, and needs to be stopped. Go ahead.
We have Guard Goldsmith says, while Trump sanctioned, quote-unquote, where is that in his constitution, members of the EU for their censorious push on Musk, he goes silent on UK arresting rally attendees more, and he sanctions the ICC.
Yeah, that's right.
Alien Poop Evolution says, can we ship Shapiro back to his beloved homeland? A good start there.
Yeah.
S.A. Miller says there were
Can't serve two masters, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Says there was no Christmas trees or manger scenes at the White House this year, only a giant menorah.
Really? I thought they had Christmas trees inside the White House. I didn't pay any attention to it, actually. I think that Christmas card with the redacted Trump face and the redacted name of Trump, I think, was genius. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Denver Attaway says Starmer's job is to turn the UK into a China-like culture, all the while curry is England's national dish.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, that's the thing. That's the task of all these European leaders, is to turn their countries into China. You know, it's a beta test site for everything they want to do as a technocracy. Yeah.
And that's part of the reason you replace the population, a population that has a culture of liberty, of wanting to be free, with people that don't care about that. Opossum King says, largest oil reserves, Venezuela, largest oil producer in Africa, Nigeria, and largest undeveloped rare earth mineral deposits, Greenland. I wonder what all those have in common.
Yeah, yeah. Smedley Butler could tell you what that all is all about. So I say he's a pirate king. Not just a king, he's a pirate king. Is that the last one? Okay, we're going to take a quick break, folks, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
David Knight Show.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas, and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I wish I had the Christmas Night Album.
Hot dog!
You can get the Christmas Night Album at thedavidknightshow.com for just $13.99.
It's right in the second floor there, see?
What'd you wish, George?
Well, not just one wish, a whole hat full. First, I'm going to thedavidknightshow.com and purchase the Christmas Night Album. Then I'm going to listen to Christmas classics, like... Are you going to throw a rock?
I want the Christmas Night Album, too.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight?
David's Christmas Night Album includes 21 instrumental Christmas melodies like God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, Silent Night, and his all-new I'll Be Home for Christmas.
What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
I'll take it. Then what?
And then I'll buy you your own download of David Knight's Christmas Night Album.
APS Radio delivers multiple channels of music right to your mobile device. Get the APS Radio app today and listen wherever you go.
Well, welcome back. Well, we were talking about Israel, and I mentioned the fact that Netanyahu had used the population as guinea pigs. And evidently a lot of them have gotten the message as well, just like people have here in the U.S. It's so bad, as a matter of fact, that they're having meetings about how they're going to punish people who don't give their kids the standard childhood vaccines. And so they're talking about what economic measures they can take against parents who refuse to vaccinate or vaccinate their children following a decline in public vaccination participation. This is the only silver lining in this massive poisoning that has happened worldwide, with the Trump shots and other things. Senior officials in Israel's health funds called for strict measures to be taken against those who refuse to vaccinate or to vaccinate their children due to the decline in vaccinations at a conference held for the Friends for Medicine organization. How about Friends for the Health of People instead of the medical industry? You had one of the health fund CEOs said that economic sanctions should be considered in response to vaccine refusal because they have a massive amount of subsidies there in Israel. They said withdrawing the economic benefits given to vaccine refusers, such as child allowances, tax credit points, as a penalty for putting the public at risk for avoiding vaccinations. When a person increases the risk of using the healthcare system and infecting others, it also has an economic implication. And so we should punish these people. It's very much like what Scott Adams said when he said, it's getting hard to tell these so-called freedom lovers from sociopaths. And that's what they're saying. If you don't do the what we tell the herd to do, if you don't follow our herd mentality, then you are a sociopath. And you need to be punished. You need to be expelled from society. And so the CEO of Maccabee Health Services argued the state must take measures that have not been implemented so far against vaccine refusers, adding that the issue is both ethical and moral. Well, he's right. It is an ethical and moral issue. But he's on the wrong side of both ethics and morality. He said a parent who doesn't vaccinate their child is endangering not only their children, but those around them. This is the same mentality that is being sold worldwide, that your vaccine doesn't protect you. Other people's vaccine protects you. And I talked about that. I said, so can we say the same thing about seatbelt? Is that why I have to wear a seatbelt? I mean, you can argue with me. You can tell me that it is better, you know, in terms of risk for me to wear a seatbelt, and I would agree with that. But if you demand that I wear a seatbelt, what is the rationale for that? And increasingly, it is because we have a government healthcare system, or we got a government insurance system. So now we've got an economic issue here, and that's the argument that they're making. Well, you're going to cost us all because we're going to have to pay for your hospital bills. So therefore, we get to tell you what you must do and what you may not do in terms of medical issues. So I want to thank Roy for sending that. It's an interesting article. And as that is coming out, at the same time, we see Dr. Brian Hooker, that I've interviewed, been fortunate enough to interview, at the Children's Health Defense, along with Carl Jablonski, conducted analysis on data from Louisiana health authorities. And they found that significantly higher mortality rates detected in vaccinated three-month-old babies compared with unvaccinated babies. The whole SIDS thing again. Infants vaccinated in their second month of life were more likely to die in their third month of life than unvaccinated infants. And folks, it is very significant when you look at it. Here's the numbers, how it goes up. Depending on which vaccines they received, vaccinated children were between 29% and 74% more likely to die than unvaccinated children. Vaccinated black infants were 28% to 74% more likely to die. Vaccinated female infants, 52 to 98% greater risk of death. Again, the variation is certain vaccines. They didn't say which vaccines are the most dangerous. But overall, children who received all six vaccines recommended for the two-month-olds were 68% more likely to die in the third month of life, said the data. Again, going back to that mother, the clip of which I've played many times, she said it finally dawned on her child died of sudden infant death syndrome shortly after getting all the shots. And she said when they started talking about sudden adult death syndrome in relation to this Trump shot, said it dawned on her. She said, I killed my child. And she started crying. It's like, no, you didn't kill your child. The pharmaceutical industry, the medical industry, the pediatricians, the hospitals, the people who have been a part of this entire institutional system, they killed your child. And you should be angry about that instead of blaming yourself. Angry enough to change it, to speak out against it. One of the most horrible experiences a parent can go through, multiplied by 1,225 times, said person. Jablonski said, he said, I knew the results weren't just significant. They were deeply troubling. I always knew it would be emotionally difficult to work for Children's Health Defense. Our data record was one of the most horrible experiences a parent can go through, multiplied by 1,225 times. one study doesn't make a consensus. It needs to be replicated many times over, but in most states, they will fight you for the data. They don't want to give it up. You know, when people want to censor your speech, when they resort to calling you a racist, or when it's something that is supposedly about science and you can't see their data, these are all tells. They know what they're doing. They know they're lying to you. They know they're doing the wrong thing. Well, John Stewart is in trouble because he mocked people on the left who are still wearing face masks. I don't know if he ever did this when this was first happening, but yeah, he laughed about people still wearing face masks. And so the left is really onto him. First of all, asking people why they're masking is invasive behavior. It wasn't invasive behavior for people to tell me I had to put on a mask before I could sit down and take the mask off at a restaurant. Come on. They said, no one randomly owes you information about their health. And it's none of your business if I don't wear a mask. Just like your vaccine, either your mask protects you or it doesn't protect you. My mask isn't going to protect you. Their loved ones, their health, they understandably want to avoid COVID, which is the only way to prevent long COVID. Well, long COVID is just their shots and the symptoms that they're getting from it. So they really don't understand, but they were very upset with him. He said there's always two, and you always say, oh, are you sick? And they go, I don't want to talk about it. And so he was laughing about that. They got really angry with him. Well, Trump's got a plan to control dangerous virus research. Gain-of-function stuff, right? Of course he has a plan. He has a plan to talk about gain-of-function research to cover up his known crimes, what he knowingly did to people, pushing out a vaccine that had not been tested and shown to be either safe or effective, that was, in all probability, we knew what it was going to do. And we also knew that there was no pandemic. And so he's got to talk about an executive order on gain-of-function experiments that could chill research on infectious diseases. So Science Magazine wants to keep this gain-of-function research going on. And again, it was back in 2014, and there was a series of articles done by one reporter that were excellent, talking about all the accidents that they'd had at these biosafety level 3 and 4 labs around the country. And that got it shut down in 2014, except that Fauci and Francis Collins continued to do it in defiance of Congress. They continued it at several different places. And then when they released the information, the papers and everything from their studies, there was a big outcry in the scientific community about, why are you still doing this? There's nothing good that can come out of it, they said at the time. And then when Trump became president in 2017, they started it up again. So now Trump is going to be the hero to his people, and he's going to freeze gain-of-function pathogen research. As Nature magazine then says, this will threaten all U.S. virology. Good, end it, because it's a lie. Virology is no better than climate science. It's garbage, and they need to stop it. Not just the gain-of-function, they need to stop virology. I'm afraid that stopping the gain-of-function stuff would not stop virology. So we're going to take a quick break. Before we go, we got some comments here.
That's right, we do. We have Honor Seeker says, David, I'm almost finished with the book, The Incredible Cyrus Schofield. It's very good. Fortunately, my wife is premillennial, as I am amillennial. It can be a tough row to hoe.
Yeah, I've never really taken a strong stance on any of the eschatology stuff. I mean, I look at it and, you know, I want to know what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to look at it as an instruction manual of things that I've got to do. And I certainly don't want to look at it as predicting the future. To me, that's too close to fortune telling. I think Ken Hagee needs to rename his church. He needs to call it the Church of the Witch of Endor. God doesn't want us to look at this stuff in terms of divination. So I've never made that a test of fellowship with anybody over that. I think there's many other things that are far more important about that. But it has become such a focus for churches that it's become an idol, I think. And that's what I oppose.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I oppose that. I oppose in politics divided loyalties as well.
So. We have Pedal Junkie. Says, Del Bigtree did a really good doc recently. He paid to have a retroactive study on vaxxed versus unvaxxed outcomes. And Mr. Palm 1011 responded and said, Dell didn't do the study. It was done at Detroit Mercy, but they were not going to release it to the public. Dell interviewed the doctor, and ICANN got the study, but it's still not published.
That's good. Yeah, he's done some really good work. A lot of people got really upset with RFK Jr., got upset with Dell Bigtree because they take some money from Children's Health Defense or whatever. But look, I think Children's Health Defense has done great research, just like, you know, Brian Hooker and others. And when it comes to vaccines and other things, I would disagree with where Children's Health Defense had been earlier with RFK Jr. pushing environmentalism and a lot of things like that. But they are good in terms of looking at food and drugs and things like that. And they've sounded the alarm on a lot of stuff like that. And so I like the work that Del Bigtree's done. I've had the pleasure of interviewing him several times at InfoWars, but yes.
Yeah. We have Original Babe. She says, vaxes caused all my health issues starting in childhood. Eczema, asthma, arthritis, crippled now. I was born in 1965. Nope, vaxes cost more money due to autoimmune issues that are lifelong.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yes, and I'm afraid you're not the only one that that's happened to. So, yes. We're going to take a quick break, folks, and we will be right back.
David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
We're back, and before we get into Ukraine, there's still a couple more things about vaccines. I've got a couple of comments here I want to get to, as well as an email from Handy about what he's seeing on the ground as EMS. Always interesting to hear from Handy. Go ahead, Travis.
Yeah, we've got Milutin Milankovic. Says the problem is people have faith in science. That study out of France that said vax reduces all-cause mortality. Imagine thinking a spike going through your veins is improving anything.
That's a good point, yeah. It's not just the needle in your arm, it's the needles that come out of the needle, right? Go ahead.
And we have NMAX. Says my nephew got non-Hodgkin's disease after a second Pfizer shot. I'm so sorry to hear that about your nephew.
Yeah, so that's what Ryan Cole was talking about. You know, you look at the various forms of cancer and how our body's line of defense is the killer T cells. And he was saying in the spring of 2021, as the Trump shots are being rolled out, he said as a pathologist, he was seeing a tremendous reduction in the killer T cell count. And he said, this is going to cause an explosion in cancers, and that is a form of cancer. Well, this is what Handy is seeing. He said, this is interesting. For the past week or two, our ERs have been very busy. I asked one of the triage nurses if he saw any pattern. He told me that the majority of the patients that he's seen haven't been respiratory related, which is what we expect every winter. He says the majority have been cardiac patients. So that's very interesting. I'm at 21 years in EMS work, and the only time I personally saw a sudden uptick of cardiac patients like this was in 2021. So I don't know if this is due to mRNA being added to flu jabs, or if it's residual long-term COVID jab damage, or if it's something else. Truly amazing. But of course, the mRNA stuff is very concerning. And it's very concerning, I think, that not only did Trump go out cheering and continuing to cheer in his exile from the White House, cheering the mRNA stuff, but he comes back in his very first day. He's pushing mRNA and combining it with artificial intelligence. The evil technologies that we're generating now. Well, let's talk about Ukraine. As we get close to New Year's Eve, should all Ukraine be forgot and never brought to mind? Maybe if we want to save any of the Ukrainians themselves, we need to get over these geopolitical lines that we've got on the map, and let's get real about some of this stuff. And, of course, this is a war that has been going on since we had the CIA-directed coup. And this is all part of a pattern going back to the 1990s of NATO aggression moving towards Russia. Even though the Cold War had ended, their aspirations of going after Russia had not ended. And just remember that NATO was so dyed-in-the-wool anti-communist, which then they became anti-Russia, I guess, that they were the ones who were running the false flag terrorist attacks across Europe, Operation Gladio. And they were pretending that they were Marxist terrorists so they could discredit the left and the socialists who were gaining power in some European countries. And it was part of that operation that Henry Kissinger sent Steve Pachinik to check on kidnapped leftist Prime Minister of Italy, Aldo Moro. His evaluation, according to an Italian investigation of Operation Gladio and the assassination of Aldo Moro, the Italian investigation concluded that Steve Pachinik gave the order via, with Henry Kissinger, that Aldo Moro should be killed because he understood what was going on with Operation Gladio. Truth eventually came out. So Russia has vowed a response after a claim that Ukraine targeted Putin's residence to alter the negotiations. Zelensky on Monday dismissed Russian accusations that Kiev had tried to attack Putin's residence. He called it another round of lies. So what Russia is claiming through their foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, said that Putin's state residence in the Novgorod region was the target of a Ukrainian drone attack overnight into Monday, said it would have implications for the peace negotiations. Zelensky dismissed the claim as, quote, typical Russian lies made because Moscow does not want to end the war. Does Zelensky want to end the war? Does NATO want to end the war? I mean, the reality is that Russia does want to end the war, but it's going to be on their terms because they're winning the war, and they know they're going to win the war. It's just a question of how much it's going to cost them to win the war. And Lindsey Graham and other Republicans, warmongers, have said, well, this is a tremendous success. Look at how much it's costing Russia. So let's just keep this going. They have no calculation whatsoever of any moral or ethical issues. They don't care how they get their objectives. The end is all that matters to them. The means don't matter. And they will fight Russia to the last Ukrainian. I don't like it. It's not good, said Trump Monday about the alleged attack on Putin's home, confirming that Putin had informed him of it during their call earlier. Securing a long-sought deal on Ukraine would be a crowning moment for Trump, who is the self-styled global peacemaker. This is a Newsweek article, who thinks that Putin wants to end the war. He does. He's just going to end it on his terms, and it's going to be with his military, if it's not going to be a negotiated ending. And it's put pressure on Kiev to make painful compromises because it's losing. Let me just say this about Trump being a self-styled global peacemaker. We're going to talk about the fact that there are, in just his first year, Trump has started or revived wars that had died down. Five wars in just his first year. And he sees himself as a Nobel Peace candidate. Obama added seven wars during his administration. That's over his 8 years. In just 1 year, we have Trump doing five of them. And in terms of ending the war militarily, of course, this is what Alexander Arestovich had said. He said, we need to make a move now and have a negotiated settlement, or there will be no Ukraine if we continue down this path. This is the same guy that said, 3 years before it happened in 2022, he said in 2019, there's not going to be any peace between between Kiev and eastern Ukraine. We're going to keep bombing those people. And he said, and in 3 years, Russia will invade, and the country will be destroyed. And the woman said, well, the interviewer said, that's horrible. And he goes, well, no, we get to get into NATO. That was all that mattered to him. So he's he may be candid about what he sees, but he is also callous about human life with that. But again, he understands that they're not going to win this war, so you need to cut a deal now while you still can. Now, we're going to talk about why Zelensky is not going to cut a deal. Is it not in his personal interest to do that? So Kiev's allies doubt that Moscow's true desire for peace. They believe that the Kremlin wants to delay or to scupper the fragile process entirely, so to keep fighting, so they can seize more Ukrainian territory. So what are they admitting? They're admitting that, of course, Russia is going to win this. It's just a matter of time and lives that are involved here. They're saying, well, Russia wants to keep this going because they gain more territory. So Lavrov, in terms of the drones, said it was 91 long-range UAVs, in other words, drones, that were launched against Russian president's state residence. All the UAVs were destroyed by air defense systems. No information has been received about casualties or damage caused by the debris. Trump is optimistic about the prospects for a peace deal. Zelensky described described it as 90% completed. Lavrov connected the alleged attack on Putin's residence to the peace talks. He said, "We draw attention to the fact that this action was carried out during a period of intensive negotiations between Russia and the U.S. on the settlement of the Ukrainian conflict. Such reckless actions will not go unanswered. The targets of retaliatory strikes and the timing of their execution by the Russian armed forces have been determined. At the same time, we do not intend to withdraw from the negotiation process with the United States. However, in view of the final transformation of the criminal Kiev regime, which has shifted from a policy of state, has shifted to a policy of state terrorism, Russia's negotiating positions will be revised because of this." So again, Zelensky is denying this. He says, "We keep working together to bring peace closer." Well, he's lying when he says that, for sure. I don't know whether there was a strike against Putin's home or not, but they were specific about the details. I don't see that they have shown any pictures. Maybe they don't want people to see pictures of where Putin's house is. Ukraine does not take steps that it can undermine diplomacy, he said. To the contrary, Russia is the one that is taking such steps. Well, Russia is demanding that Ukraine hand over the remaining areas of the Donbass that are still under its control, or Moscow will take them by force. And again, what we're talking about is the idea that NATO pushed for Ukraine to be separate, to secede from Russia. That happened. But then when the eastern part of Ukraine, which was linguistically and culturally Russian and had been for 400 years, when they decided that they did not want to be a part of this new Ukrainian government that was created by a coup, a CIA coup, that they wanted to be with Russia, Ukraine said, no, you can't secede from us. We can secede from Russia, but you cannot secede from us. And so this is the area that they're fighting over. And that's why I say these geopolitical lines don't mean anything. Let the people choose where they want to be. And they'd made that choice. And for all of the pearl clutching about attacks on civilian areas, and yes, we should clutch our pearls about that, still, it was the Kiev government that had for 5 years before Putin, I'm sorry, not 5 years, it had been 8 years. It was 5 years when Arestovich went there. It was 5 years in 2019 when Zelensky was elected, and he was elected on a campaign promise that he was going to stop Kiev from attacking Donbass. And it was a unilateral thing that was happening there. Continued to attack them because they wanted to be independent. And so they did not abide by that. So the they said the Kremlin has repeatedly rejected calls for temporary ceasefire, arguing that Ukraine would use the pause to rearm and to regroup. They're going to settle this militarily.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change. And the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks and instant cash prize redemption.
Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Zelensky faces a cemetery if ousted from power. Yeah, he's seen the ghost of Christmas future that's there. The West is likely to get rid of Zelensky once he loses power, says a U.S. journalist, John Veroli. He said Zelensky is clinging to his office because he knows that if he is ousted, it's probably going to be to the cemetery or maybe to jail for corruption and theft. Zelensky's standing both at home and abroad has been weakened by the major corruption scandal involving his longtime associate and state nuclear operator, Energoatom. It's an energy, a nuclear energy company, I guess. In light of the controversy, Trump urged him to hold elections, which Zelensky had previously refused, citing martial law, despite his term expiring next year. Veroli, who described the administration in Kiev as, quote, the most brutal totalitarian regime on the planet, unquote, and the leader himself as a Western puppet, argued that Zelensky is unlikely to relinquish his long-expired mandate voluntarily. He said he's the puppet, but he wants to stay in power because he understands that if he's removed from power, it's probably going to be removal to the cemetery. I don't think there's even going to be any exile for Zelensky. They will have to get rid of him because he's a liability. He knows too much against the Western elites. That is too dangerous to too many people in the West. While the Ukrainian leader has sought to distance himself from the scandal, nearly 40% of Ukrainians believe that he is implicated in corruption. Bill Gates has even called the Ukrainian government the most corrupt government on earth. So according to a recent poll, it said earlier this week, ahead of a meeting between Zelensky and Trump in Florida, Ukraine's Western-backed anti-corruption agency said that they had uncovered yet another organized graft scheme involving vote rigging and bribery by a sitting member of parliament. I remember as this war was beginning and Zelensky was being celebrated as a hero all across Europe and how his wife went to Paris and spent like $50,000 on clothes in just an hour. And then we look at it, they have villas all over the world. And they've got shell corporation inside a shell corporation inside a shell corporation. It's like a Russian Modryovsky doll, the way they have structured this thing. And at the very core is it's put in his wife's name. That's what people do with this kind of stuff. It's corruption all over the place there. Veroli questioned why the West, particularly the U.S., continues to negotiate with Zelensky, given his weakened position. It strikes me as a game, as a theater, he said. He's kept around because he's very convenient. He's easy to manipulate. At the end of the day, everything that Zelensky does and says has to come from the White House. And people have been saying this for the longest time. You know, it is a game. When you look at the fact that they're so dependent on American aid, as many of us have said, you know, Trump said, well, I could stop this on the very first day. I might even stop before I become president, but I could definitely stop it on the first day. How could he stop it? Well, he could just stop the arms that are going to Ukraine. If he stopped the arms that are going, they would have to surrender. But he doesn't. He keeps sending arms to Ukraine as he pretends to be negotiating for peace with Putin. Yeah, it's a game. It's a game. Now Zelensky wants a 50-year security guarantee from Trump. Apparently, Trump has offered a security guarantee for 15 years. Where does Trump get the authority for a 15-year security guarantee? I mean, the whole point of this article from Zero Hedge is, look at how outrageous this is. 50 years? It's outrageous that he would offer a security guarantee to them of 15 days. It's outrageous that he'd be continuing to arm them when he pretends that he is the arbitrator, the peace negotiator, and he's arming one of the sides? Come on, this is like a referee who's rooting and calling shots for the other team. The Ukrainian side has revealed that Trump had offered a security guarantee for 15 years. Zelensky thinks that's too short. And so in classic Zelensky fashion, he wants more than this. Also, maximalist demands are something that European leaders have backed him on all along. And they may have even put him up to it, according to the Wall Street Journal. Kiev has asked for security guarantees to last up to 50 years after the end of the conflict during weekend discussions. In the documents currently being discussed, the U.S. has offered a 15-year guarantee with the possibility of extension. Zelensky said in the audio messages to journalists on Monday, well, that's half a century. Look, the bottom line is that a security guarantee is like admitting them into NATO, even if it's just a security guarantee with the U.S., because NATO doesn't have any teeth outside of the U.S. Would Congress and the American public sign off on this? Certainly you got warmongers like Lindsey Graham would. Others might not want to be hitched to the Ukraine wagon for decades more. We have been at war for almost 15 years, said Zelensky. Therefore, we would be very much like that guarantee to be longer. Well, that's right, 15 years. Because the war started as a civil war. The war started as aggression by the Kiev government against civilians in the Donbass region. He said, I told him we'd very much like to consider the possibility of 30, 40, 50 years, that this would be an historic decision by President Trump, a decision that he has not the authority to make. Trump doesn't get to decide where we're going to be in war or to unilaterally enter into some kind of a war mutual defense. They're going to defend us. Yeah, no, there's not anything in it for us. You talk about an entangling alliance. Talk about a war declaration. Talk about entering unilaterally into a treaty without involving Congress. This is what I say. You know, Trump, even when he does, you know, even if there's something there, like let's end the war in Ukraine, right? It's too dangerous. Could explode, enlarge. And yet even when he does that, the way that he does it is counterproductive. To end this war by putting us even more into that area, even more into an entangling alliance that could draw us into a nuclear conflict with Russia, is not something that I'm going to be cheering about. None of us should be. Trump said he would think about it, said Zelensky. There will be a security agreement. It will be a strong agreement. The European nations are very much involved. We need to divorce ourselves from these European tyrants. They hate everything about freedom, and they're purely evil. We should not be allied with them. He doesn't even have the authority for any of this stuff, not even 15 years. Last week, we detailed that Zelensky actually wants to keep the contents of any U.S.-Ukraine security deal a secret. I bet he does. He ultimately would like to bypass the American public and any potential criticism by keeping everything secret. Just call it national security. I'm sorry, you can't see the peace agreement. It's national security. This is a separate document between the U.S. in terms of bilateral security guarantees, said Zelensky. This is what we see. They must be reviewed by the U.S. Congress with certain details and annexes remaining classified. Don't tell the American people. That's what Zelensky is saying. Why are we listening to this pervert, this sleazebag comedian? He's not funny. Never was. The American people might have something to say about that, says Zero Hedge, especially on a classified backroom deal which could drag future generations into war with nuclear-armed Russia. Well, I hope if they do something like this that any future president would say, well, that wasn't a treaty that I've seen passed by Congress, so it's not of any effect. And yet that's not the way they operate. You know, just like we see with the Paris Climate Accord. You know, they'll always come up with some kind of a legal prevarication and say, well, yeah, we grandfathered that in. It's piggybacked on this.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home absolutely free with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Previous agreement or something like that? No. Treaties have to be approved by the Congress, and we should not go anywhere near any kind of security guarantee for Zelensky. So Putin has, before this attack on Putin's home, the alleged attack, there was a known attack over the weekend from Putin onto Kiev. The day before Trump and Zelensky had their meeting, Putin bombarded the capital of Ukraine with a large number of strikes. Now, the interesting thing is, they're saying that it was 500 drones and 40 missiles fired against Kiev. One person died, injuring 22 others, right? So I'm thinking this is not just about, what was the target? Nowhere in this, again, this is The Sun, a tabloid publication in the UK, and they have been at the forefront of pushing war everywhere. It's this same tabloid, I believe it was The Sun, that said, look, Iran is declaring total war on the U.S., and that's not what was said. What was said in the address, and it's a public record, what was said was the Iranian president was saying, look, they are at total war with us. You know, they're not using just kinetic missiles that they're not shooting against us, but they are shutting us down, our economy, our energy, and other things like that. And so we have to, as a people, we have to understand that, and we have to start being very careful about the amount of energy that we're using. I'm not heating the swimming pool anymore at the presidential residence and all the rest of this stuff. So what he was saying is they're after us economically as well as militarily and sanctions and other things like that. So we have to be careful. We have to know that they have declared war on us. And yet the way The Sun put it out there, and it was the headline on the Drudge Report, to say Iran declares total war on us. He said exactly the opposite. He said we've had total war declared on us. And again, here, when you look at this, to say that this is the headline from The Sun. Vlad's wrath. Putin unleashes hell on Kiev a day before Trump and Zelensky's crunch peace summit as the tyrant bombards the capital with strikes. So 500 drones, 40 missiles, one person killed. So what was the target? Evidently, the target was infrastructure and power. The attack began the early morning hours on Saturday and continued as day broke. Zelensky, en route to the U.S. to meet Trump at Mar-a-Lago, said that Kiev was hit by almost 500 drones and some 40 missiles. So maybe it wasn't that many, but they are saying the types of drones, missiles they were doing, many of those were made by Iran. So think about that. So Iran is a huge country, huge geographically. It's got a lot of people, too. And it's a country that is that large is going to be very hard to subdue. It's bigger than Iraq, quite a bit bigger than Iraq, and we couldn't do that in Iraq. And yet they want us to do their fighting for them, Israel. I mean, it's absurd to think that Israel, as small as it is going to take on Iran. But that has been the lifelong ambition and mission of Netanyahu, to do that to Iran. He wants to have us do that for him. And when you look at their capabilities, that's one of the reasons why that war between Israel and Iran ended so quickly, was because of the massive number of drones that were being sent. And so Iran is actually manufacturing drones that they can sell to Russia. They have surplus that they can sell to Russia, even though they are faced with an imminent attack. They're making enough of them that they are selling them to Russia. So that's what they're making this next step about. And that's what we can look forward to in the next year, is more and more wars. You know, we can have wars for Europe. We can have wars for Israel. And we will continue to do what these tyrants and these murderers want, without any question, I guess. So, Travis, we've got some comments here.
Yes, we do. Yeah. We have IRS Machine Gun, and he is now a monthly supporter. So thank you, IRS Machine Gun. And Do Not Obey says, most healthy people do not wear a mask until a fraud starts saying it's for your protection. The truth is not revealed by those aiming to harm you by falsehoods.
That's right.
Birdhouse Blues says, we need Ivan Drago to conduct the peace talks. He'd end the war by telling the West, I must break you. I must break you. New Republic Rising 83 says, since the illegitimate U.S. government doesn't shy away from breaking its own laws, it's basically expensive euthanasia for neo-Nazis at best. We did the Russians a favor and gave them combat seasoning and supply chain modernization.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, they're getting experience, that's for sure. Maybe more than they want, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't...
War's not good for anybody.
No.
Yeah.
No, it is if you're Lockheed Martin or someone like Lindsey Graham, very profitable. And Max says, I don't think anyone over 60 is safe in a hospital unless you check who owns that hospital. Private equity buying up much of our medical industry.
Yeah, the decisions and things that we saw happening in 2020, it was financial. You know, you had Trump's Center for, CMS. They're the people who hand out the payments for Medicaid, Medicare, things like that. And so, you know, that was the same thing that Biden used to blackmail the hospitals into telling their workers that they all need to be vaccinated. It was all about the money. And giving bonuses, if you just point the finger at somebody, say they've got COVID. If you put them on a ventilator to kill them, they get a bonus for that. If the family goes along with the diagnosis that says that they died from COVID, they get funeral expenses paid. Everything about it was a bribe. And that was made possible because these hospitals are now, there's been this massive consolidation with these holding companies buying these hospitals as investments. And just as we had Ben Shapiro point out that the real hero of This Wonderful Life was Mr. Potter, because he's the only one that wanted to make the really hard decisions about money without regard to human life. That makes him a hero to Ben.
Well, actually, when you think about it logically, Mr. Potter is the hero of It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, according to him. Yep. Well, okay, so we're done with the comments here. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Thank you.
it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Listening to The David Knight Show.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
Well, welcome back. As I said before, even when Trump does the right thing, he sets very dangerous precedents. And here's an example of this. Tina Peters, who in Colorado was part of the investigation, I think she was unfairly jailed, and so Trump has given her a pardon, and he's got lawyers as well as the MAGA media, like in this particular case, this is WorldNet Daily, saying that the state must recognize Trump's pardon for Tina Peters. Well, I think it's an injustice, but I think it's even worse for us to throw out the 10th Amendment, which seems to be an ongoing goal of President Trump, is to completely eviscerate anything that is remaining of the 10th Amendment. And in reality, there's a way that Trump, as well as Democrats and other Republicans, have always gotten around the 10th Amendment by doing bribes, like I was just talking about. You know, you bribe people to do this or that. You give money to the governors to lock people down and declare a lockdown. You give money to the hospitals if they do this or don't do that. You give money or you take away money from the schools, depending on whether they put trainees in the girls' bathrooms or take the trainees out of the girls' bathroom. So it's always been about the money. It seems like he could think of some way to bribe or blackmail Colorado, but rather he'd rather take on the 10th Amendment directly and get rid of it. So a new court filing is arguing that the state of Colorado needs to recognize the full pardon issued by Trump. These are state charges. These are not federal charges. These are state laws, not federal laws. He doesn't have the jurisdiction to issue a pardon. There's no question that the pardon forgave federal offenses, said the motion filed on behalf of Peters. However, the pardon also gave Colorado State Court convictions for actions Clerk Peters may have committed or taken part in related to the election integrity and security during the applicable time period. So this article from WND makes it all about partisan politics. Democrats in Colorado argue her convictions were under state laws, so Trump's pardon doesn't count. And they're right to that extent. I mean, the Democrats put her in jail because of partisan warfare. However, they have the law on their side, unfortunately, to act in this tyrannical way. And I don't want to see a precedent set to destroy even more of the 10th Amendment. She's convicted of official misconduct, conspiracy, and influencing a public service after she allowed access to voting equipment in order to preserve official records because she suspected election fraud in 2020. So Democrats have control of the governor, legislature, and the state Supreme Court. They say the federal government has no jurisdiction over disputes involving national elections. And actually, they're right. The Constitution makes it very clear the time and the manner in which elections will be held will be determined by states. That is very clearly state jurisdiction. And as a matter of fact, when this is done, remember I talked about even Rudy Giuliani said, well, unfortunately, he can't do anything about this because it's a state issue. But what it does do is it pardons her from any future federal charges, but it also brings attention to her case. And Rudy Giuliani said, well, maybe that's the benefit of this, is that people look at the case and see the injustice that's there. But even Rudy Giuliani said there is no case for the president to be able to pardon somebody for violating a state law. So the Colorado Democrat Party spokesman said the president's pardon is meaningless. It is absolutely true. And yet you have the Trump press pushing this.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Well, there is an investigation saying the FBI has now caught Hillary Clinton talking donations with a foreign felon on tape. Now, this is not something new. This is something that was done before. What they've discovered are the FBI documents where this investigation was shut down over the objections of the agents who were doing the investigation. And I talked years ago when this was happening to Charles Ortel, who had done a lot of investigation in the Clinton Foundation itself, and he said it'd be the easiest thing in the world for Trump to shut that down and bring criminal charges in 2017 because they don't file any of the paperwork, and they violated all the rules for these foundations to be run. But the Trump administration, the first one, did absolutely nothing about any of this. As Hillary Clinton closed in on the presidential nomination in spring of 2016, FBI field officers advised colleagues at headquarters to press her on the foreign donations flowing to the Clinton Foundation while she steered American foreign policy and whether she had used the charity as a campaign piggy bank. But the FBI headquarters in Washington let the trail go cold. FBI New York Assistant Director in Charge Diego Rodriguez advised agents in Washington to ask Clinton several questions about the foundation. These are now reproduced in full in documents released to the Senate Judiciary Committee by the FBI, published on December the 15th. The questions reveal the concerns about foreign bribery that the Clinton Foundation case, codenamed Cracked Foundation, had uncovered. Among the evidence, a recorded conversation between Clinton and Indian hotel magnate Sant Singh Chatwal, in which Clinton discussed donations to the foundation and her remaining 2008 campaign debt. The new documents confirm that the FBI had at one time been, quote, intercepting individuals associated with the Clinton Foundation. Forbes estimated Chatwell's properties to be worth about $750 million in a 2006 profile. He pled guilty to laundering straw donations to the Clintons' 2008 campaign committee in 2014. He forfeited $1 million in a deal with the Department of Justice. He said, he then said at the time, that's the only way to buy them, is to get into the system, he told an FBI informant in that case. FBI had recorded Chatwal discussing straw donations in 2010 and sought to expand that investigation into the Clinton Foundation itself, but FBI headquarters would not allow it. And so these are some of the questions that they wanted to ask. Based on information derived from a recorded conversation, you, Hillary Clinton, and Mr. Chatwal had a conversation regarding settling debt. This is a question the agents wanted to ask Hillary Clinton. You indicated to Mr. Chatwal that he could no longer donate to your campaign, but he should instead donate to the Clinton Foundation. Were donations made to the Clinton Foundation used for personal use and or to settle campaign debt? So the agents wanted Clinton to be asked about his role in 2008 Indo-U.S. nuclear agreement that weakened the 1978 Nuclear Non-Proliferation Act. And that was put in because India and Pakistan were competing in their nuclear weapons program. Under the deal, India, for the first time in three decades, received American exports of dual-use nuclear technology, yet did not have to become a party to the treaty. Even my close friend Hillary Clinton was not in favor of the deal, he said in 2006. He told that to Indian media, not to an FBI agent. But when I put the whole package together, she came on board. He put the whole package together in terms of money. It took me 4 years and millions of dollars, which I paid out of my own pocket. I'm proud of that because I love my motherland. You think about those millions of dollars. How much did Miriam Adelson, who loves her homeland, and uses America, just like this Indian guy did, how much did she spend for the homeland that she loves? Yeah, hundreds of millions, right? $250 million she gave to Trump. They're the same. Trump and the Clinton are the same. And I fully believe that there will be a lot of revelations after Trump has come and gone with the next Democrat president. You're going to see all kinds of stuff about corruption. I think Trump has been the most corrupt, openly corrupt president of my lifetime. Chatwal pled guilty to using straw donors to raise campaign funds for the first presidential campaign. This is a question they wanted to ask her. Along with using large amounts of cash, giving large amounts of cash to your husband, Bill Clinton. To your knowledge, did Mr. Chatwal also provide large cash payments to Indian officials in an effort to secure a nuclear deal between India and the U.S.? The agents also had evidence that the Clinton Foundation continued to accept foreign funds while Clinton was America's top diplomat, Secretary of State, even though Clinton had officially pledged that it wouldn't, their questions show. Well, again, you know, this is something that we knew a very long time ago, and Trump decided not to do anything. You know, he decided not to come after crooked Hillary after saying, I'll put you in jail. He didn't do any of that. He didn't do the very easy stuff of exposing the Clinton Foundation. He allowed that slush fund to persist. And perhaps that'll be the thing that saves him. Washington has become so corrupt, probably the next Democrat president that's there will not want to expose the gravy train so they can participate in it themselves. We were trying to explore the foundation. We were told no by FBI headquarters, said a New York assistant U.S. attorney, said 3 years later in 2019. Field agents were frustrated, but headquarters would not let it go forward. So that's the thing. The FBI has always been political, then and now. It was created for political purposes like that by J. Edgar Hoover, as a matter of fact. ICE has arrested more than 100 illegal alien truck drivers in California. Good. This is where California recently confessed to unlawfully giving almost 20,000 commercial driver's licenses to foreign people who, in most cases, don't speak English. So we're making big headway here, right? We've found 100 of the 20,000 people. 2 weeks ago, authorities in Washington state released an illegal Indian truck driver who was charged in the killing of another motorist. But they refused to honor a detainer from ICE. This is what we're up against. You know, Washington State, California, others, they want to have these people driving trucks who can't speak English and don't care about any of the rules, either citizenship or driving rules. The illegal aliens have come from around the globe. Mexico, Colombia, Nicaragua, Honduras, El Salvador. Elsewhere, they come from India, Russia, Georgia, Ukraine, and Uzbekistan. Last month, Sean Duffy, the transportation secretary, said that California's Motor Vehicles Department confessed to unlawfully issuing 17,000 non-domiciled commercial driver's licenses to, quote, dangerous foreign drivers. A non-domiciled commercial driver's license is one that's given to a driver who doesn't even live in the state. You know, regardless of where they live, where they're going to drive, they can go to California, get a license, and now they're on the highways for everybody to be concerned about. Notices have been issued to 17,000 of them that their licenses no longer meet federal requirements and they will expire in 60 days. Newsom and California were caught red-handed after weeks of claiming that they did nothing wrong, Duffy wrote on X. The 17,000 revocations are just the beginning. If the state doesn't revoke all the unlawfully issued CDLs, he will block $160 million in federal subsidies. Well, they may revoke these licenses, but they still got to fine these guys. These guys are going to break all the rules, come here illegally, and skirt these driver's license tests and all the rest of the stuff. You think they're going to stop because they get a letter saying your license is expired? In October, two operators caught more than 200 illegals. Sorry, not operators, but operations. An operation in Oklahoma collared 91 illegals in Oklahoma, but remember, we're talking about 20,000 out there. The operations have removed at least 386 illegal aliens. In other words, we're talking about maybe 2.5% of those that were brought in, Biden, California, Washington State. 2 weeks ago, authorities in King County in Washington State released the Indian illegal who is charged in a traffic fatality that left one man dead. Authorities ignored a detainer from ICE. They not only freed the man on a $100,000 bond, but they also returned the bond money to him because prosecutors failed to bring a case. Don't even want to charge this guy. The Biden administration's Border Patrol caught him at the border in 2023 and then released him. Then he gets a driver's license, when he can't drive, I guess, obviously, from Washington State, he kills somebody, and then they release him again. Officials in Lacey, Washington, did the same thing after a Mexican illegal trucker was involved in a wreck that included a school bus. And in this article, they have several different cases that they list there. But you think about the illegal drivers who can't read English and don't know the rules of the road or care about it. And many of these involve people who are drinking heavily while they're driving an 18-wheeler rig. But days after a mass bricking event, the Waymo fleet has shut down again.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, Her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
These, you know, what do you think is going to be the bigger issue? They're not only putting out these Waymo cars as taxis on the streets, they want to have them driving 18-wheelers as well. Quite frankly, I don't that's going to be any better than a drunken, non-English-speaking driver of an 18-wheeler to put these under autonomous driving control. Just days after the Robo fleet crumbled in San Francisco when the power went out, the company was forced to suspend all rides again in anticipation of a storm. If it rains, maybe we can't drive. due to the National Weather Service's flash flood warning. So they said, well, you can hardly fault them for wanting to err on the side of caution, but it shows just how fragile the whole system is. So, as Zero Hedge points out, let the Americans choose their cars, not the government. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, as a matter of fact, not just let us choose our cars, but let us choose to have cars. Let us choose to buy cars that are affordable rather than being loaded up with a lot of things that are not necessary. And as that one investigation that I showed you, the guy who was pushing back against the Democrats who wanted to mandate all kinds of new bells and whistles in the name of safety, said, I went back and I checked your VIN numbers, and even though these things were options that you could buy on your cars when you bought them, you chose not to spend the money on that, and yet you're going to force everybody else to spend the money to buy these things. You're going to mandate them for everybody. They were outraged. How dare you go back and look up our records when they do that to everybody with surveillance and everything else? And when they want to mandate this stuff in order to make sure that none of us can afford to have a car. There's a lot of crowing in certain quarters about the 2% decline in U.S. electric vehicle sales in 2025 compared to the year before. A lawyer who writes the Manhattan Contrarian blog claims vindication for his prediction in February 2023 that electric vehicles would not sweep the country and become the dominant form of transportation. Well, we could all see that because the technology is not quite there. Look, I don't really care what kind of car people drive. I think people ought to be able to have the freedom of choice to choose not only what kind of engine or motor they want to have, how they want to move the thing, but they also have choices about what kind of levels of safety equipment and other things like that that they put on there. And I think all this stuff about emissions is a bunch of nonsense. It's all based on the lie of global warming. But the reality is that only the wealthy really get to have a choice in any of this stuff. For example, if we take a look at Zuckerberg, right? He's got this massive yacht. Look at that. It's got, I think, 8 diesel engines in it. Now, that's just fine for him. You know, he can have a yacht like this, and Bezos can have a yacht like that, and Musk can shoot his rockets up, even though he made all of his money pushing the Green New Deal. He can launch rockets all the time. That's not a problem. And they can all have their private jets. But they are going to come after you for what kind of car you drive. That's the reality of all this stuff. As another person said, this is how you become a climate activist. Number one, you got to own a private jet. Number two, you got to own a yacht. Number three, you got to own 5 mansions. Number four, you have to lecture people on how selfish they are. And then number 5, you give yourself an award. Well, he said the reasoning behind his forecast that it was not going to fly was, he says, always wise to bet against the central planning of the economy. In this case, the central planning amounted to state CO2 emission goals and CAFE mileage requirements that are being imposed on people. And so the writer that says, well, like him, I don't like central planning. Our own government is denying Americans the opportunity to buy the cars of their choice by imposing huge tariffs on low-priced electric vehicles. Is that what people really want? You know what I really want? I want an EV from China. I think we want other things, but according to this guy, we should all want that. Because the big problem is cost. The EVs are absurdly expensive. The rest of the world, EV sales are booming. Well, no, actually they aren't. Same thing is happening in the UK. And if you look at the resale values of EVs, they're crashing. Which says that people don't want them. People don't want them, even if they're coming from China, even if they're cheap, because of the battery issues that are there. If they change the battery technology, and of course that may be something that happens in the near future with the Samsung Silver battery that we talked about yesterday. Something lasts twice as long, and it also charges way, way faster and has a much longer range and doesn't have, most importantly, doesn't have the fire hazard issue. I could see those being mandated by the government just for that reason alone. So the technology may eventually come around. But at this point in time, it's not there. That's why people don't want these things. Chinese-built EVs carry a special 100% U.S. tariff initially imposed by Biden in 2024 and extended by Trump. Nevertheless, China sells 62% of the world's EVs and 71% of the EV batteries. The European Union also has high tariffs on Chinese EVs, 43%. As a result, the British are rushing to buy electrics like those offered by BYD. Well, actually, they are not. And the whole orientation of this article on Zero Hedge is that wouldn't it be wonderful if we didn't have the tariffs? I think it'd be wonderful if we didn't penalize and reward people based on even the cars that they drive. You know, again, go back to the title there. Let us choose. And if we choose to have a internal combustion engine, we ought to be able to make that choice as well. They are destroying all industry, not just the car companies, but all industry in Europe and in the UK over this green lie, this green MacGuffin. And electric cars and trucks have fewer moving parts than vehicles, they point out. And they're cheaper to build and operate. And we're, yes, the internal combustion engines are more complicated. And that was an advantage that the West had that's been thrown away. So now China can make cheap, simple cars. And we can be forced to buy them. So let the market speak. That's the reality of all this stuff. You know, Eric and I have often talked about, Eric Peters, about the idiosyncratic failures of EVs. Yeah, they may be simpler, but they still have their issues. Big issues. We're talking about range. We're talking about when it gets really cold and they don't work or take a charge. I mean, there's a lot of issues that need to be ironed out for EVs. That's one of the reasons why people are not getting them. Well, Tim Walz and the fraudsters are not escaping, says one influencer. He put out a 42-minute video, and he put out a 42-minute video, but here's a short version of it as he's exposing the healthcare fraud in Minnesota, as well as the child care scams.
A list of all of the healthcare companies, loads of them right here. We want healthcare.
No, it's okay.
Yes, we'd like to speak about getting healthcare here.
No.
Why can't I get healthcare here?
No, wait.
Warning, you are under video surveillance, no trespassing, security armed. this is the strangest place I've ever been to get health care. Just a bunch of different places. Healthcare here, healthcare right here, another healthcare company right here. There are three healthcare companies inside of this building right here in this room of 7C. Now we have another Helping Hands, Home Care LLC, another healthcare company. Present Help right here. We're looking for the best rates of healthcare here inside this building because we have so many options. Who can we talk about getting the best healthcare?
I don't know.
No?
Sorry.
All right. We will not get any healthcare here. David, this is one of the stranger places I've ever been. Literally, healthcare every door you go to, yet nobody will give you a rate. How much money do you think has been funneled through this building?
Every year, I would say 50 to 60 million at least.
And finally, we were accepted into one of the daycare centers and they actually took down our information to give us a rate. However, when we left, we were then met with the police.
We received a complaint that, matching your description, we're in this building harassing the individuals who stay here.
You're the bad guy.
We're checking out the rates for healthcare. Because there's 14 healthcare companies inside this building, so.
Okay.
Well, that's not what he said. He said there's 14 companies here, and he's trying to assume because they're Somali providers that everyone here is fraudulent.
Okay. So
he's here with some kind of like propaganda.
So no, we're just checking.
This is a.
Here there was some kind of fraud.
Area that we're allowed to enforce trespassing ordinance. Is there any other reason that you guys are here?
Well, we were checking rates.
No, he's not.
We were checking rates. We asked for rates.
No, you're not.
Okay. I'm going to have, if you guys are all good, we're going to step outside and we can continue this conversation.
All right, let's leave. So, all right, we're getting escorted out right now. The police have arrived. We're checking out the rates, seeing what was happening.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options. No doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Inside this building, no one would really speak with us. We did go inside the one daycare center, and she actually did give us rates for childcare. Much respect to that lady. What's the problem, officer?
Well, so again, we've been getting reports from now multiple individuals that you guys were harassing individuals who work here. At the end of the day, this is private property, and it's one that people are allowed to ask you to leave, and it's also one the Minneapolis Police Department is allowed to enforce trespassing ordinance at this address.
Yeah.
So
as we got escorted out of this building, the Somalis filmed us as we left, and we headed over to the next building that had 22 of the same home health care providers operating from inside of the building.
Right here you have.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we got 22 companies here, but nobody can give you a quote, and if you ask us for a quote, we'll call the police on you for harassment. Yeah, that's reality. And then they had a place that was called Quality Learning Center, except that the Learning Center misspelled it on their sign. They left off the inn. So it was a leering center. And I guess that's what happens if you ask them any questions about getting your kids enrolled. They leer at you. It is a leering center. And another one, which was appropriately named, a daycare that was named Little Pirates. Because Somalians that are there. So it's actually kind of comical if you stop and think about it.
Truly amazing how the U.S. is being taken advantage of every possible way it can be.
Yeah, yeah.
Another thing to consider is that if you or I were to be caught in even some kind of minor tax inconsistency, the entirety of the government would be mobilized to crush us.
That's right. The same thing we're seeing in Europe and the UK. Yeah.
This is billions of dollars of fraud.
Yeah.
And there's like, oh, well, you know, I guess it happens.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible to me how entitled and uncaring these people seem to be. It's like, well, yeah, I'm going to take your money. Get out of here.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And
they don't even have any shame about it.
No, no. And they have political allies in the Democrat Party, because there's enough of them that they became a voting bloc. And actually, once they get some of the money, they can start bribing the officials as well. So that's the question. When one of these things, when they called the number that was associated with one of these shell companies, it was Tim Walz's number. So I don't know if these people did that as a joke rather than just making one up, or if there really was some connection there. But yeah, I could believe either.
I could believe that someone thought, you know what? This will be a good little rub it in their noses thing to do. Or they're legitimately so stupid that they think, oh, if they have a problem, they can just talk to Tim Walz. He's the one that's letting us do this.
Yeah.
It must be fine.
Well, it's interesting that the Justice Department is now saying that if you film their immigration raids, it's domestic terrorism. No, you are allowed under the Constitution to film in public. As a matter of fact, you know, that's the principle that these people are falling back on to set up these flock cameras and everything else. You know, what is in public stays in public. It's available to the public. But don't you film any of these officers there. As a matter of fact, while they're complaining about that, they're going out and filming documentaries about themselves. But don't you try to do that, because if you do it, you are now going to be designated as a domestic terrorist. A leaked Justice Department memo directs federal prosecutors to press domestic terrorism charges against individuals who record immigration operations. Yeah, you still have a right to record the cops, even if they're cops who don't have badges and warrants and who wear masks. You still have a right to record them. But this tells you the attitude of the government. After leaving the Chicago area in November, U.S. Border Patrol Commander Gregory Bovino made an unexpected return December the 16th, along with several hundred federal agents and a film crew. Returning to the same aggressive tactics that sparked protests earlier this year, local officials criticized Bovino for using immigration operations as a form of political theater. And that's what this is. Again, this is Trump deliberately. I'm all for the enforcement of immigration laws. I'm not for taking people who have committed a misdemeanor and sending them to a harsh prison camp or foreign prison. I'm also not in favor of getting rid of the due process for people either. But they should enforce this. Instead, what they're doing it in the wrong way. And I've got to say, the people who falsely say, well, this is the only way that it can be done, I'd say that the end does not justify the means. If you're going to destroy the rule of law in this country, and if you're going to establish federal police to be able to do whatever they want, militarize the police, federalize the police, I'm saying that's not worth it. So this is in Chicago. They said the mayor's office criticized them for filming the raids and turning these operations into a spectacle. This activity is occurring alongside a film crew, which appears to be using these raids to create content at the expense of traumatizing families. These tactics are destabilizing, wrong, and must be condemned. And this is not the first time they've done this. Of course, Kristi Noem is famous for having done this all the time, you know, dressing up in kind of a cosplay thing. You know, she's in all of her police uniform and militarized police uniform, and so she can have her picture taken. It's a joke. People called her the Ice Barbie. So under Trump, Homeland Security seemingly has been transformed into a propaganda arm to sell the public on the president's increasingly unpopular policies and tactics, including a video posted on X by Kristi Noem of agents raiding a South Shore apartment building September 30th, and a video posted on DHS's official Instagram account depicting various immigration arrests. As Bovino and the DHS have embraced the power of cinema in order to document immigration arrests and promote current policies by the Trump administration, the same people are also cracking down on individuals who choose to record those immigration operations. In a December the 4th memo originally leaked by journalist Ken Klippenstein, the Justice Department encouraged federal prosecutors to press domestic terrorism charges against people for doxing law enforcement officers. While undefined in the memo, the term doxing in this context is understood to mean the publishing of information that identifies law enforcement officers, which the Justice Department insinuates is a threatening activity, used to silence opposing speech, limit political activity, change or direct policy outcomes, and prevent the functioning of a democratic society. Well, the definition of a democracy, I guess, is to change or direct policy outcomes by various means. But when you look at all this stuff, silencing the opposition, opposing speech, limiting political activity, changing or directing policy outcomes, isn't that the definition or the description of their actions, what they are doing? What the Trump administration tries to paint as the unacceptable doxing of law enforcement agents is often observers merely recording on-duty officers, an activity that is firmly protected by the First Amendment. When no physical interference or danger is present, it is an important tool for holding public officials accountable. By broadly defining domestic terrorism to include something as vague as doxing, the Trump administration has rolled out a nationwide policy of intimidating and threatening people who attempt to observe and record DHS operations. And, of course, as we talked about yesterday, the general, Guillaume, who is in charge of NORTHCOM, said, well, if it's somebody who's actually a terrorist who's been designated that way by the federal government, I have no problem using the military against them. And presumably no problem in, since we call them a terrorist now, right? It's just labeling somebody a narco-terrorist is sufficient to unleash missiles against them and then to circle back around and to kill them as they're shipwrecked. So what's it going to look like here in America as these people are making these arbitrary designations there? Under such a broad definition, even the DHS's own camera crews and media, hired specifically to record and publish details of immigration operations, could potentially be prosecuted for domestic terrorism. The only limiting factor in the memo seems to be whether the publisher is considered to be Trump's political ally or Trump's political opponent. One of them makes you a terrorist. Guess which one? The right to free speech is not taken away when someone says or does something that the government disagrees with. Attempting to define who is and who isn't protected by the First Amendment is not only unconstitutional, but a strategy that could put even Trump allies at the mercy of federal prosecutors, especially in future administrations. That's the commentary from Reason Magazine.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com is a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And while all this is happening, you need to, as I said before, when you look at Cash Patel and the lies that he's told about these Epstein documents, and the fact is that he's making a lot of enemies in Washington, who are talking about his diva demands. Yes, he is like an all-star rock person. Said he's demanding heads up from noteworthy agents so that he can be on the scene and get some screen time. Again, just like Christine Ohm, they want their picture taken. But if somebody who doesn't like them takes a picture while they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing, now you are a domestic terrorist. But you know, Cash Patel wants his picture taken just like Christine Ohm does, and he wants to be notified ahead of time. But then he puts this in, which kind of got the ire of the FBI agents. He said, I want you to let me know if something's happening big so I can get my picture taken in this, but don't talk to me when I get there. And he's too important to be talked to. They said, Patel focusing on making news, agents are instructed that if the director does show up, they should avoid engaging with him. Again, he wants to be a star, according to the FBI agents. This is all in the tradition of J. Edgar Hoover, by the way. Why would anybody be surprised? Why don't we get rid of this bureaucracy, this federal bureaucracy of investigation? As I call them, the federal bureaucracy of instigation, because they're instigating a lot of things so they can look like heroes. Or better yet, just call it the FIB, since they lie all the time. Patel is rarely spotted out of an FBI windbreaker, with a source telling Axios that the habit is rubbing staff the wrong way. You're the director of the FBI. Wear a suit, they said. Nevertheless, in one incident, the dossier claims that he threw a tantrum when he arrived in Provo, Utah, the day after Charlie Kirk was assassinated. It was all about what costume he was going to wear. He was asked about this by Laura Ingraham, and he poo-pooed it as never having taken effect. But it was all about him having the right jacket and the right patches and all the rest of the stuff, which I don't know. I think it sounds pretty credible if you like the guy. So, again, a lying director of the FBI who wants the limelight and wants to be a celebrity, I think he's perfectly suited for the task. He's definitely in the mold of J. Edgar Hoover. So we all know that he's a liar. It's just over which issues. I mean, certainly he's been caught out over the Epstein documents. And then, of course, there's all the other diva behavior, like his private jet usage and, you know, taking the FBI jet, private jet, to play golf in Scotland and come back. I mean, this is outrageous. Conservatives would be jumping up and down screaming about this behavior if it was a different administration. They've even got a nickname for him inside the FBI. They call him the Make-A-Wish Director because he has the power to make all of his wildest dreams come true. Yeah, Dan Bongino can't get out of there quickly enough. Well, this article points out that if we look at what is happening, Europe's farmers' protests are getting ignored in the media, but we should not ignore it here in America because it's coming here. And so they said over the past 2 years, farmers across Europe have mobilized at a scale that should dominate headlines. Instead, it's been treated as background noise. In the Netherlands, farmers have protested nitrogen rules that would force mass farm closures. This was Mark Rutte's doing. They threw him out, so NATO brought him in, because NATO is part of the globalist establishment that seeks to destroy our countries. Even among the low-input regenerative operations, they put these nitrogen rules there. In France, farmers have blocked highways, surrounded Paris with tractors, protested fuel taxes and land use restrictions, and impossible compliance burdens. In Germany, tens of thousands of farmers drove tractors into Berlin over the removal of diesel tax exemptions that many farms rely on in order to survive. In Belgium, farmers dumped produce and manure outside EU buildings. In Brussels and in Poland, Romania, and Hungary, farmers have protested cheap imports and regulations that apply to domestic producers, but not to foreign competitors. These are not isolated events. They're sustained multinational protests by people who feed entire continents. And again, they want to starve us. It's not just the farmers versus the government. It's the farmers, it's the governments versus all of us, the farmers and the people that they feed. European farmers are not protecting environmental responsibility. I'm sorry, not protesting it. They said many already practice conservation, reduced inputs, rotational grazing, they cover cropping and soil building methods. What they're rejecting is regulation that is divorced from reality. Let me just say that all of this stuff is divorced from reality. And if we're going to play this game that, well, no, I'm already doing my green part. Let's just have some reasonable regulations about CO2 and all that. If we're going to play that game, we've lost it already. Under policies driven by the European Union and initiatives like the European Green Deal, farmers face rules that impose arbitrary nitrogen caps per acre, treat synthetic nitrogen and organic nitrogen as if they are identical, require land to be taken out of production regardless of local context, and demand extensive reporting and compliance that small and mid-sized farms cannot absorb. This is no longer about practices. There are fully regenerative farmers that use no chemicals, that have integrated livestock, biologically active soils who are still being regulated to death. And the bottom line is, what this author doesn't understand, even though they're talking about this, this is not bureaucracies out of control. This is by design. They don't understand what the end goal in all this stuff was to start with. If you go back to the very beginning of the environmental movement as it was happening on Earth Day, leaders of that had already been involved in the depopulation movement. This is about depopulation, that kind of population control. And it's about total surveillance, manipulation, and rationing. That's another kind of population control. It's all about that. It's just like the people who look at the schools and say, wait a minute, they're not working. My kids can't read. No, you don't understand. This is about the deliberate dumbing down of your children. It's not about educating them. It's not about critical thinking. It's about just the opposite. It's about propagandizing them and brainwashing them. And so all of this stuff will be coming to the U.S. It's just a matter of time. I'm almost out of time, but I want to talk a little bit about what's going on with gold and silver coming up in the next year. Gold and silver see heavy profit taking after they both hit new highs yesterday, which is really significant. You had pretty much all the metals in the midday had hit all-time highs. And then in the afternoon, all of them came crashing down. A lot of people say, well, it's profit-taking. Some people said, well, maybe this is manipulation by the central banks. You look at gold, for example. It had a midday high of 45.17. As of this morning when I looked at it, it was at 4,400. So it came down significantly. But it went up over $4,500. Silver went up to 84.60. This morning it was at 75. But again, why is this stuff hitting all-time highs? Even when you look at these banks making their predictions for, you know, they'll make predictions first or second quarter or third quarter or whatever. And many of them were saying, well, I think it might hit 4,500 in second quarter of 2026. It's like, well, it already hit it once yesterday. Now you have UBS says $5,000 gold by third quarter 2026. If that's true, think about that. That would be a 13% increase. That would be a great investment. not necessarily based on what gold has done this last year, but don't let that warp your sense. Where else can you get 13% on your money and have something that is stable? that has held value throughout centuries, millennia, and said with potential for $5,400 if the U.S. potential political and economic risks rise. Do you think they might? You think we're going to get more stable instead of less stable? I don't know what these people are talking about. But it is kind of interesting to see how things have moved very rapidly. The Bank of America CEO says, well, yeah, Trump may politicize the Fed, but the market will punish him if he does that. Well, I'm not so sure. And again, if you had countries that were run like Switzerland, says one person, he said, the general public appears to still be skeptical after Gold's record-breaking run. You look at the comments section of a newspaper when they finally start talking about it, which some of the mainstream media has, and you see these ridiculous comments about it being a barbarous relic type of thing. There's still no societal consensus that gold is useful. And the person talking about this says, so I think that's really bullish. The top of a market is not in until everybody agrees that actually this is what you ought to be doing. And I don't see that yet with the gold bullion stance. If every country was managed like Switzerland, there would indeed be no purpose to have gold or Bitcoin. If we all balanced the budgets, if we didn't have any debt problems, and if we didn't have asset confiscation and all sorts of things, they would serve no purpose. They'd just sit in the background and be used for wedding rings. Or they've been intellectual curiosity in the case of Bitcoin. But that is not the case. And when you look at what Trump's Federal Reserve will do, they'll go back to the spending and the printing. That's what it's really about, stupid. It's that type of economy. And so that's what we're looking at coming up in the next year. As one person said, when you look at all of these metals going, this is John Rubino who's saying this, he says, we see record highs for gold, record highs for silver, all on the same day, and all these metals going up the first part of the day. He said, this has never happened before. What it is showing us is that the currency crisis that we've long predicted is here. Rubino said, currencies are pouring into real money in anticipation of the existing fiat currencies dying. That is a whole different thing. It's on a much bigger scale because the numbers are grossly inflated after 70 years of a credit supercycle. So what we've seen so far is really just the beginning. Gold and silver have had huge runs, but they're doing it when things are more or less still normal. Precious metals are starting to soar in anticipation of something really abnormal coming next year. Right now, this is a bigger gold than silver story because gold is the money that we go back to when national currencies fail. Silver is a more complex story because it is also an industrial metal. Industries that are using more and more silver, and there is just not enough of it to satisfy that demand. As you pointed out, they've used more of it in the last 6 years than they have mined, and so that is the big issue. He said, but this is basically the end of the fiat currencies. It's also perhaps the end of these paper exchanges. They're all based on trust, and they're based on a trust that's not really deserved. Again, go to David Knight News. That'll take you to Tony Arterburn, and there you can find ways that you can buy gold and silver. Thank you for joining us. Have a good day.
That's right, boys and girls. There's a post-election sale on silver and gold. Trump euphoria has caused a dip in silver and gold. It's time to buy some metals with fiat dollars before they come to their cents. Is go to davidknight.gold to get in touch with the wise wolf himself, Tony Arterburn. He knows where to look to find silver and gold.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2 hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle, while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an Elite CompTIA certification partner.
BA education benefits are available to those who qualify.